If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
No regrets. That's my motto. That and everybody Wing Chun tonight.
Spread them wide. Ass cheeks.
What the f*** are you thinking?
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
Yeah! All right! Woo! Yeah!
I'm embarrassed. It happened yesterday. I'm embarrassed for the Yankees, the fans, and myself. So I have a slap, sorry. And now,
we're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. Here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:31, and it is Wednesday, the 5th of Slut-tember.
Slut! 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 Slut!
Do I have to buy a separate seat for my mustache, or can I check it? I've never really had to fly with this kind of company before.
At this point?
Yeah.
A separate seat. Clearly.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so massive and masculine. It's
like I have to sit next to it, or can I put it in another section of the plane?
Oh, you can put it up over the top.
Oh, put it in the overhead compartment?
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's better than buying a seat.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Kevin? What do you do with yours?
Checking it. I'm actually checking it because it's just too big. I can't.
It's too big. Why does Lisa gasp? Did he already shave?
How dare you?
You know, I was just going to comment, Bean, that your lip just looks dirty.
I know. Believe me, as we'll hear from my wife in a few minutes, who hates the mustache, she says, hold on a sec, Bean. I think you've got some rat poo on your face. That's the kind of support I'm getting for growing a mustache at home.
I think you could slip it in your pocket and airport security would never know.
I don't know.
I think it's okay.
I can't believe we're still doing this. Look, it was a funny interview with the American Mustache Institute.
That
but
wasn't
really,
even funny. That was a stupid interview.
I enjoyed the interview,
American
but really, does it have to ruin the rest of my life?
No, just this
like
part.
This month.
I hope to meet
September. It's going to ruin September.
Beat acts like it's a teardrop tattoo.
I feel like I should have given it more serious consideration before I went ahead and did it. You know what I mean? That's all.
You're not growing enough to have to seriously consider it.
How is this going to impact my ability to get chicks in Las Vegas this week?
Not a bit.
Yeah,
it won't impact it a bit.
Exactly the same.
You start with 0%, now you got 0%. So you got that going on for you.
Come on, let's just shave them off.
No. Come on, for Vegas. Just do it for Vegas.
Stop whining, dude. Just rock the stash. Rock it proud.
It's not really that I'm trying to whine. It's just you don't know how beaten up I'm getting at home. That's all.
Well, thank God you're leaving today.
Yeah, that's true. That does help.
We'll
that does help a
little
bit.
Will embrace you, Bean.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you say will embrace you?
Will embrace you.
Oh, will embrace you. What's going on, Mike?
I have a question for you. How's this?
Why would you want? Well, I turned on the one you were in front of.
Oh, I thought
so.
That
then
was
you
me.
Moved and went on that one.
I'm kidding. This one. How does this compare to being bald with cowboy hats?
Oh, much worse. That was much worse. Much worse. Bean and I shaved our heads one time when we were in New Orleans, and then it occurred to us that we looked like Aryan youth.
Yeah.
So one guy with a bald head, fine. Two white guys with a bald head, you're screwed.
Right. Yeah.
So we got cowboy hats because we were going to Nashville next, and that didn't...
That's quite the look.
No.
It's funny because back then we were young enough that people thought we were Aryan youth. If we were to shave our heads today, they would just think we were gay bikers. So I guess it's good that we went through that phase as young men.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not advisable.
But this will be good.
Oh, sure.
Okay. All
right. I can't wait to see like all five of you walking down with the wind blowing through your hair, you know the way they do
mustache
in the movies
flowing
with your
in
mustaches.
The wind.
Yeah,
sure.
It's going to be awesome.
I will say, though, since we started growing the mustaches, and it's only been, what, a week? Every time now that I do see somebody out with a mustache, I think just this. Wow, I don't want to look like that dude.
Right.
But we are heading that direction.
You don't think, hey, brother.
My mustachioed brother.
Yeah.
Let's have a beer.
I wonder if there is a certain type of person who I mean, the email we've been getting from people who have mustaches has been very positive. I mean, funny guys who really enjoy having a mustache.
That's the thing I noticed about it, too, is the people who have mustaches love having mustaches.
But didn't we find out about the people who have mullets, too?
Sure.
They,
same thing.
Yeah,
that's true. Doesn't
mullets.
Mean it's good.
Same
right.
thing. They have a mullet. They know no one else likes it, and yet they're super proud of it.
I don't have it in front of me, but we got an email yesterday from a guy who says no one messes with him since he grew this big old mustache. He says it really is just, it's like a force field. You know, they can't touch him.
That's wow. cool.
That's a hell of a mustache.
Yeah.
If that's doing all that for him.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Hey, one more thing I wanted to mention real quick, and I know we have a very busy Kevin and Bean show. I don't know if you saw this dude or not, but this 51-year-old riding his bicycle through a national park. Did you see this one over the weekend?
No.
Riding his bike, you know, as some people do, he was out on his bike and he had a couple of dogs with him and they were out, you know, for a ride in the park to mm-hmm. exercise. So the dogs go around a corner and start barking their heads off. When the guy follows them around the corner, he realizes they're barking because there's a big black bear in the path.
Oh, jeez.
Who, as you can imagine, charged the guy, knocked him off his bike, mauled him, bit him in his arms, his back, his neck. He eventually did get away. And of course, now they're out tracking the bear to kill the bear because clearly the bear was at fault for living in a park and protecting its cubs. But my point is, the reason I bring it up is this is what I'm telling you people about exercise. This is why this guy made a near fatal mistake. You don't go ride your bike in a park.
So it's not the fact that he rode his bike toward a bear. It's just that he rode his bike.
Well, yeah, that's just stupid and irresponsible. This is why rarely, and correct me if I'm wrong, do you see a guy sitting on his couch like I do watching TV and get mauled by a black bear? It just doesn't happen.
That's
true.
Never happens. If all you do is stay in your house or go in your car, you'll probably never get attacked by a bear.
That's the point, and that's why you need to take a page out of my book. When you see a story like this, you need to go, wow, make note. Please do not be out in wild. Okay?
That's what you've learned.
All right.
Thank you. We've all learned.
I'm sharing something for the kids today here because I know how they are, man. I know how they sit around and go, ooh, it'd be fun to ride my bike today.
Hey,
don't
I
do
should
it,
ride
kids.
A bike.
Yeah. Seriously.
Paul Moyer, how's the heat going?
Thank you, Beverly. It might not feel like it where you are just yet, but hold on. The temperatures are starting to come down, and the worst of the heat wave is behind us.
Behind us. All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
The worst is behind us.
It's official. Paul
5:37. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right.
There's a new documentary. It's an HBO documentary that's showing on Cinemax, oddly enough. Do they own Cinemax, I guess?
I guess they must.
Didn't know.
It's called Children of God, Lost and Found, and it's directed and stars a kid who's in a family that was a cult. Mm-hmm. Is a cult, actually, still, I think. And his father was the leader of the cult. And it was just a big old molest children cult.
Oh,
yes,
no.
In the name of God.
Oh,
yep. He had. That's not. That's not. No, it's not.
Sir, it's not a. It's not a comedy. It's the truth.
It's not funny.
The guy. He hasn't seen the movie, I guess.
No, it's not really.
It's not a laugh riot. Also on today's show, we have James Gavigan, who's a K-Rock listener looking for an NFL team. Apparently, he's been researching. He's been allowing teams to court him. Nice enough. And he's going to let you, the K-Rock listener, pitch your team to him.
Excellent.
He needs to find a new football team in the NFL.
Okay.
I love that he wrote to every professional football team and said, what are you doing for me if I become a fan of yours? And is he going to make his decision based on who sends back the best T-shirt? I mean, how does that work? Well, I guess I'm an Oilers fan.
I can't imagine.
That's funny, see, because there isn't an Oilers anymore.
Oh. I can't imagine having enough time to sit down and write a letter to every NFL franchise.
That is, well, he's serious.
You know what I mean?
Damn
like,
it. It's like a job.
Wow. All right. So anyway, we're going to talk to him today. We have tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, is a week from Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bean said, we're going to talk to his wife about the stash and her love of that. I don't know if you heard yesterday on the show, we talked about a heroin-addicted elephant. That's good times.
Yes, we did.
And we're going to talk to the owner of a gun range in Las Vegas where you can shoot AK-47s and submachine guns and all kinds
of
crap.
No kidding. I didn't think you could own stuff like that. Can a citizen own an AK-47?
I don't know, but I know you can shoot them there. And
dude,
that's
what do you shoot at?
other people in the gun range?
Oh, yeah, you have to sign quite the waiver.
Usually it's like targets and stuff.
We're going to pick Dave, right? Isn't Dave our target?
Run, monkey, run! Yeah. So anyway, we're going to do that, and there's nothing better than having an AK-47 in your hand when you're drunk.
Sure.
So, good times.
Well, that's one of the questions we'll have to ask, especially since I know I'm going with you, Kevin, is do they have a breathalyzer or anything before they hand over a weapon? I mean, they gotta have that in mind in Las Vegas.
It has an automatic lock on the AK-47. You have to unlock it by blowing into the thing.
I hope so, because imagine how many people, you know, people find out about this place in Las Vegas. It's, you know, 2 a.m. and they go, I know what we should do. Let's go shoot it up.
Well, that was my response, and I wasn't drunk. So anyway, we're going to set that up because today we're going to Las Vegas, and then we're going to broadcast there Thursday, Friday, and Monday after the MTV Video Music Awards, which are Sunday night. Mm-hmm. All right, quick break. We'll come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat Night.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You got to wonder if there were no cameras, if he would have had to go to the top of the Eiffel, of the wherever the tower to get you know.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Wow. Indeed.
But I was right. You do have to wonder that, right?
You have to.
I mean,
after wonder what you were talking about. Yeah.
It's 5:46 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman, before you dive into the showbiz report, let's all agree, good meeting yesterday, accomplished a lot. Very rarely do you walk into a meeting with management, you walk out just shaking hands going, you know what, things couldn't be any rosier, we couldn't have accomplished more, wasn't a waste of time at all.
I guess I wasn't
at
that meeting.
What meeting were you in?
A different meeting.
Oh, wait, that's right, the exact opposite happened. Yeah. We continue to get beat down.
I'll give you, it was exactly what I expected. I'll give you that much.
Yeah.
But not a successful meeting.
Let's just put it this way. Any day, if we're gone, you'll know what happened. One person complained about our show.
That is fair. That is accurate. That is not exaggerating.
We won't have a chance to say goodbye or explain things or anything. So just know ahead of time that if we all of a sudden disappear, that's what happened.
And it was probably a black.
Okay, now that's
or a Mexican
the type of thing.
Or a gay.
See, I'm kidding.
Or
because
a Chinese.
That's the kind of thing they don't want us to say.
Or a honky. Don't say that.
And hey, I don't guys, even mean I think, it, but that was funny to say it.
I think Kevin has just come up with a great idea.
And I'm going to be a Mexican.
it's probably not going to be a Mexican. No, the Mexicans have been the coolest.
Sorry,
they've actually taken it better than most.
It's going to be a woman.
It's probably going to be a woman. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. It'll probably be Lisa.
It'll probably be a black gay woman.
A fat one, for sure.
Yeah. A fat one.
With some Mexican in her.
Let's.
Maybe that she makes the complaint.
Maybe a touch of Swedish, too. Freaking Swedes. They won't get off our ass.
Deaf.
Oh, there, she'll be deaf, too. Yeah, she'll be a deaf, Swede, black, gay woman who's fat.
Who's fat.
I hate those.
You're
that minority. I hate
you know
that,
how they are.
That group.
Yeah, let's do a farewell show, guys. One day,
every
next
day.
Week. Let's do a goodbye show.
Trust
where
me.
We get a chance to say goodbye.
That's a good idea.
I like to think that every day is my goodbye show. It just never works out that way.
That's a good idea because we're never going to have the opportunity, so we might as well do it now and then just bank it.
Okay.
Ralph goes home and checks his answering machine every day after work, just praying,
something,
oh, please let the light be on.
Something.
Let this be the day.
Somebody
I can
give
say goodbye.
Me a job somewhere, anywhere. Nope. You have zero messages.
Aw. And you're like, well, looks like I got to work tomorrow, too.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll work on that. I think that's an excellent idea, is give us a chance to say goodbye and give the listeners a chance to say goodbye. So we'll have to do that. It's 5:49. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
According to the recent ratings, the listeners have said goodbye a while ago. So they may not be around to
we're saying goodbye to nobody.
If we want to leave, we've got to call Big Boy and announce it on his show?
Maybe. Yes. It's very possible. Here's a great idea. OK Magazine. This is the magazine that had the infamous photo shoot with Britney Spears where she wiped fried chicken grease all over her dress.
Okay. Borrowed dress, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a designer gown. Cost, I don't know, $3,000 or $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they had lent it to her for the shoot. So she says, I have to have fried chicken for lunch because that's how she rolls.
Right.
And she wipes her greasy, stinking fingers all over the dress. And there was another dress that she let her dog poop on. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Well, OK Magazine had to eat the costs of the dress, naturally, because they don't want it back in those conditions.
Nope. Yeah, we'll take that back. Sure.
So they're going to auction them off for charity.
Poop-stained dresses?
Maybe you'd like a piece of Britney Spears history, and you can get the greasy mustard and grease-stained dress that Britney wore at the actual photo shoot in July.
Britney Spears. What about her?
Gowns posted on eBay.com. All proceeds will go to Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which seems mildly appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of people who drink and drive, Paris Hilton You know, now she's studying the Bible. Apparently things are really paying off for her. The next move, she told British Elle magazine that she wants to become a mother.
Oh, good.
That's the next step for her.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
This is bullshit, man.
Works so well for Britney Spears, why not? So that's what she's going to do.
I don't believe she's ready to raise a child.
Oh, sure she is. She's been reading the Bible.
Stupid head.
Another interview, this time with Nicole Kidman. In this month's edition of Vanity Fair magazine, she drops a couple bombshells. First of all, that she and Tom Cruise lost a baby early on in their marriage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we always wondered why they had adopted Bella and Connor. Their two kids are now 14 and 12. She said when she lost the baby early on, it prompted them to adopt because they wanted a baby sooner than later. But she's looking forward to having another child with her new husband, Keith Urban. She's going to give it another go. She also said she was engaged for a short time to someone else between Tom Cruise and Keith Urban.
No kidding.
She won't tell the magazine, but the New York Post claims that it's Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, I remember they were dating.
I remember they were dating for a while, too, but I didn't know it was that serious.
Huh.
Then she said, just wash your hair once.
Just
honestly,
the once.
One time.
Please.
He said,
you're
no.
not Prince.
She broke it off.
Stop it. She kept screaming at him. Then he said, are you going to go my way? And she said, no. Thank
sad.
You. Thank you so much.
Nice.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. This relationship between Chris Angel and Britney Spears, this romance they've got going on, they've been seen everywhere in Las Vegas together.
The one that doesn't exist, that one?
May, in fact, be a publicity ploy.
For which one?
For both.
Okay.
Apparently, the two share a common manager, Jeff Quatnitz, of the firm.
Right.
And apparently, the New York Post is saying that they may have put the two of them together just for photo ops and just to generate the kind of publicity that it has been generating. Recently, when they were together in Las Vegas, they arrived and left together at the Luxor, but they weren't even sitting at the same table the rest of the night. But every time there was a camera around, Chris Angel would jump into the shots with Britney.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they may be just yanking our chain, people.
Is it confirmed yet that she will be performing on this weekend's MTV VMAs?
Still no confirmation. We've got people around the clock working on the story, and still we have no confirmation.
I read a quote by her saying that she was going to shock everybody with her performance. Not awe, just shock.
Oh. No. Well, she's not going to be doing one of her songs then, apparently.
Yeah.
I heard that Chris Angel had worked up some deal where she can disappear and reappear on stage during the number. And that was the magic trick that she was helping him with.
That would be shocking.
He was helping her with.
That'll be shocking.
I mean, it could be cool if it. I mean, it could look good.
It'd be cool if she doesn't reappear.
Yeah,
just
that
would be cool. Yeah, can make her just disappear. Can get grease stains out of dresses. That would be a good trick.
Can you make her fupa disappear?
Oh no, you did.
No,
no,
the homosexual
did.
Is right.
By the way, I think it's. I want to say us. Maybe it's In Touch. They've got a photo shoot on the best beach bods of the summer, celebrity beach bods.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. On the cover, look to the right, and they make you guess who's the worst or whatever, and you just see a giant celluloid cheese ass hanging out of the back of a bikini bottom.
Uh-oh.
That's our Britney Spears.
It's best
there
and
you go.
Worst, the whole thing.
Yes, best and worst, yes.
And it is, Ralph is right. Check it out. It's unbelievable.
Well, there you go. Psycho Mike said, I'm right.
All right, then.
So I got to be right.
It has been confirmed.
He has confirmed.
We all know she's...
We have confirmation.
We all know she's out of shape, but this picture in particular is amazing. I mean, she's a big, fat, cheesy ass.
That's what I said.
Yep.
Big, fat, cheesy
that
ass.
What you said.
Yeah. But now it's been confirmed.
We have a second source, people.
Oh, I feel bad for Dave.
King of Mexico?
King of Mexico, yeah.
Why?
Because, you know, he shares my love for Hayden Panettiere of Heroes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And now
that
she's just turned 18 years old, we've been just doing nothing but scouring the internet in the office there while we sit around just looking for new photos.
Right.
How about those pictures of her in the German beer hall? How about those, Ralph?
Yeah, her wearing a little lederhosen outfit, just boobs akimbo.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And the bad news for Dave is she told a reporter this week that she's got a tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Dave's going to be devastated.
That's a deal breaker for him.
I don't like tattoos. They don't look good. Girls with that tattoos are pretty beady. What, Dave? apparently, it's the astrological sign for Leo, and it's on her ankle. She's had it for about a year, and she decides to keep it hidden most of the time. Her mom, she says, cried when she saw it because she realized her little girl was now all grown up.
Is it tough to find someone to tattoo you if you are under 18?
I don't know.
I doubt it. It's as difficult as getting a fake ID, I imagine.
I imagine when you're Hayden Panettiere and you're in one of the hit shows on television, it's not that difficult.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
It's like, is it
I
difficult?
Definitely feel empowered by being 18, by being able to call myself an adult.
We do too.
Like, it's like difficult for them to get into a club that serves alcohol as 21 and over. Exactly. You know, you see them in there all the time. So,
well, isn't Hayden Panettiere, isn't she proof that Dave is wrong, that there are chicks with tattoos who are scorching hot?
Well, no. That's always been the case.
Yeah, we knew that.
Yeah. We knew that to be
proof. He's been wrong the whole time. She's just further proof.
But I'm sure he's off now. No, and I don't know that. I can be attracted to her no more.
Which is handy because he would never have a shot at her anyway.
That's right. How convenient.
Did somebody order Mexican?
No, I'm not interested in her. That's what it is.
I am the bearer of bad news today. First for Dave the King of Mexico, now for our very own beloved Bean.
Uh-oh.
National Enquirer says there's going to be a sex scandal coming out of High School Musical.
Sex scandal?
Nude pictures of one of the cast members.
Please let it be Zach. Please let it be Zach. Please let it be Zach.
The bad news for Bean is it's not Zach.
Oh.
It's Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh. Who wants to see that?
Oh, yes.
Apparently, Vanessa took naked pictures of herself as a gift to Zach, and the National Enquirer says that the pictures have been swiped and are set to hit the internet any day now.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yeah, if you would, Sailor.
Is Zach in any of them?
No.
Yeah. How old is she, you guys?
She's 18. 19.
She's 18.
19.
Okay. 19. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
She's hot. By the way, she's the only one in that whole group that's cute.
What about the blonde? I think the blonde's pretty cute.
What about Ashley Tisdale?
Nose.
You know? She's a little bit of a nose.
Honk.
Yeah. Oh, stop.
You know what I'm saying?
Honk.
In real life, it's more pronounced.
Thank
too.
You.
It's,
she has a slight.
I have backup over here, Ralph.
Oh, well,
I have a second.
Psycho Mike says it, then it's got to be so.
I've spoken.
He's judge, jury, and douchebag.
Can we just say goodbye to Mike? Do we have to say goodbye to our listeners? Can't we just say goodbye to him?
I think maybe, you know, the listeners are saying goodbye to Mike more than us when I look at the ratings. Keira Knightley speaking out again about the sluts that populate her profession. She's always coming down on Brittany Lindsay in Paris.
Sure.
And she says in a recent interview with Empire magazine, which is the big movie magazine over there in the UK, that she's tired of people thinking that being celebrity is magic. That somehow you're able to get away with unacceptable behavior just because you're in the movies or in television. Isn't that kind of a refreshing attitude?
Pretty much true, though?
Well, she says she likes to drink occasionally, but she would never go out and get loaded in public, for instance, and stumble around and puke. She said that's just, why would anyone do that? You wouldn't do that if you were a plumber or something. Why do you think you can do it because you're in the movies?
It's perfectly Hasselhoffian.
It is Hasselhoffian of her. She also says that Lindsay, Brittany, and Paris are just desperate to prove they're sluttier than everyone else because they don't wear their knickers underwear, of course, for us here in America.
True.
When asked to respond, and I'm not kidding, Britney Spears told EntertainmentWise.com, who's Keira Knightley?
Oh, my. Wow.
I love her.
Someone who
I'm confused because I feel like I've been missing out on life.
Yeah.
Like what part of life?
Life. Like things and things going on.
Things and things.
Yep. She's missing out.
And no comment yet from Tom Cruise, but a Belgian prosecutor said yesterday that the Church of Scientology should stand trial in Belgium for fraud and extortion.
Wow.
Prosecutor Jean-Claude Van Espen said...
No.
Yes.
Jean-Claude brother.
Van Espen made the announcement yesterday after a 10-year investigation that's been going on by the Belgian government. Van Espen wants to charge 12 unidentified people and label Scientology as a criminal organization.
Wow.
Dude.
This could be spectacular.
Germany already has kicked them out, right?
Yeah, they banned them.
They banned them, yeah. Scientology officials say they will vigorously fight the charges and place a car bomb in his car. No.
I don't think that's...
And do everything within legal means.
Sure.
To battle this.
Does Scientology enjoy the tax-free status of a religion here in the United States, Ralph?
It does, sir.
Yeah, it does.
I wonder how quickly it would fall apart and blow away if that were rescinded. If it wasn't a money-making opportunity.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea. That's Bean at krock.com who thinks that's a good idea.
I'm just asking. I didn't say it was a good idea.
What a terrible idea.
Who lives
in
Washington State.
That's right.
If they have any mosques up there where they work out of.
I don't think they work out of mosques.
I think they do.
Do they?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm in love with Katie Holmes. I'm in love with Katie Holmes. Right. I'm not gay. Okay. Go see my new movie. I'm in love with Katie Holmes. I'm not gay.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom is so agitated.
Yeah, he is.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Bob Newhart, one of the great all-time comedians and TV sitcom actors. He is 78 years old today. Raquel Welch, one of the legendary sex symbols in movie history. Still looks good, by the way. At 67,
she does.
Stupidly attractive for that age. Just nuts. Michael Keaton. I'm Batman. He's 56 years old today. Dweezil Zappa, who I personally think is the most talented guy named Dweezil I've ever met. He's 38 years old today. And Rose McGowan, who was so good in the recent double feature by Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez, Grindhouse. Mm-hmm. So good in that.
She was good.
She's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, guys, it's been almost, speaking of Las Vegas, you know, we're going to be broadcasting live from Las Vegas Thursday, Friday, Monday in town for the MTV Video Music Awards. Speaking of Las Vegas, you know, one of the names that leaps into your brain when you think Las Vegas is the great Siegfried and Roy. And it's hard to believe, but it's been almost 4 years already since the last Siegfried and Roy performances. That's how fast time has flown.
Those of you that don't recognize the name, they were magicians in Vegas for, I don't know how many years, 20 years or something like that at the Mirage, and they used white tigers. And
White Tigers used them.
Yes,
so,
they did.
Roy Horn, who was the unfortunate recipient of Montecor's Tiger Bite 4 years ago, is not working as much, but he is available to us to talk to about our trip to Las Vegas. So we've got Mr. Horn on the line right now. It's been a while since we've caught up with him. Hey, Roy, how are you?
Guten Tag, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. What do you do with your time? How do you spend your days now that you don't have the act with your friend Siegfried?
I spend most of my days here at the compound.
You still have the tigers there at your house?
Wheeling around, feeding the tigers, making sure everything is good.
So you still own them? They're still at your place?
Oh, yes. Okay. We still have over a dozen tigers here on the compound.
Is one of them named Montecor?
Yes, Montecor is still with us.
Okay.
But I don't play with him so much anymore since he used me as a chew toy.
Yeah, that was kind of ugly.
Yes.
That was bad.
Now I have a new favorite pet tiger, Schnitzel.
Schnitzel?
And Schnitzel is a lovely pussycat, and he's been very instrumental in helping me regain my mobility.
Well, that's great news. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you so much.
How does that work with a tiger? How do they help you learn to walk and whatever else you're trying to do out there in recovery?
Well, I go out to the compound where we keep the tigers, and I smear myself with chopped liver. Mm. And then the tigers try to chase me.
Why do you do that?
And I get very mobile, very quickly, trying to run away from the tigers.
I see. So you're kind of forced into that kind of activity.
It's motivational therapy, I call it. I try not to get eaten. Okay. And then I run or limp or hobble as fast as I can away from them.
Huh. And you and Siegfried still live together? Are you still enjoying living in Las Vegas, even though you don't have to be in that city? You don't have the act anymore?
Yeah. Siegfried and I still live together. We are the best of friends as well as partners. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Las Vegas is my home. I would never leave Las Vegas. It is a wonderful place to live, and I'm very happy to be here.
Right, but you don't work anymore at all, right? I mean, you're done for life.
Well, we're going to be producing some work.
Oh, is that right?
Some other shows in Vegas shortly, and we still leave the door open perhaps for working again together someday on stage.
Okay.
Perhaps we shall come back and perform once again as Siegfried and Roy with our magical act.
What type of stuff are you producing? Can you tell us any of that?
Yes, right now we're working on a stage show called Get the Hell Out of the Theater, The Tiger's Crazy, which is an interactive experience for the audience.
I can't imagine how that one ends.
The audience comes in, we smear them with chopped liver.
Oh, really?
Why?
And then we release the tigers on stage, and then we lock the doors. It's very entertaining.
Wow.
For me.
Yeah, for you, right. It doesn't sound like the type of show you're going to be able to do more than once, Roy.
Word of mouth, I think, would be very positive.
Is that right?
Those who survive. We'll tell their friends how exciting it was.
Less for those who died.
And how much better it is than Chris Epping Angel.
Yeah, well
I was going to ask you about that because he's the big name in magic in Las Vegas. That has to tick you off when you consider how much better you guys were than his act.
Chris is an extraordinarily talented young man. and a incredible pussy.
Wow.
Because he does not put his life in danger with wild animals when he works.
True.
He just...
Right. Maybe he learned from your mistake, though.
That's all he does.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Which is the sound I made when Montecore had me in his mall. I was going... But I don't like to think about the past.
No, I'm sure.
The past is past, and now Schnitzel and I will always...
Are you there with Schnitzel?
That doesn't sound...
Roy? Roy? Oh, no. Roy?
Are you okay?
Roy, are you okay? Do you need help?
Oh, crap. Oh, I can't believe it happened again.
Oh, no.
Oh, balls. Oh, that hurts. Oh, I hate these goddamn tigers.
Yeah.
I need to get a poodle.
Yes, you do.
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Congratulations to Halle Berry. She's announced that she is 3 months pregnant. No word on who the father is. She has no idea. She's been banging all over the place.
Is that true?
I think she's got a steady boyfriend, Ralph.
She's dating model Gabriel Aubrey, and apparently he is the daddy in question. She's 41 years old. This is her first baby. Because of her advanced age, doctors are concerned she's going to have an adult.
Is that how it happens?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Sometimes you're too old if the teenager comes out.
Didn't know that.
Very disturbing.
Too hot to have a baby. I'm sorry. I gotta reject that one.
But black don't crack, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, she'll still look good.
She might
true.
Bounce back pretty strong. It's Bean versus Quentin Tarantino.
Uh-oh.
Let me add him. What's going on?
Apparently, Quentin was horrified recently when the higher-ups at Warner Brothers Motion Pictures asked him if he would please direct the movie version of the 70s cop show Hawaii Five-0.
Oh, that would be awesome. He'd be great for that.
Quentin said he was horrified because he had always thought the TV series starring Jack Lord, and I quote, sucked.
Oh.
Oh. How are you going to come at Jack Lord like that?
I don't even like Hawaii, he says.
Wow.
Or the number five.
The Boston Herald said, we wouldn't be surprised if Quentin put out a movie called Hawaii F.O. for F off.
I'm going to say that he would do a great job with that movie. That would be perfect for him.
But it sucked. The show sucked, and
well,
he hates
it. He's wrong about that.
Bean, shut up, 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 shut up.
You've got my back on this, Ralph. You were a 5-0 fan.
It's okay. I watched the box set because I hadn't seen it in a while, and I watched it on DVD, and I was like, whoa, this is not aged well.
It's
this
a little dated.
Not held up at all.
Well, it came on in 1968.
I mean, understand that. Some other shows that came out then also stay good. This one, not so much.
Well, I think it would be an outstanding movie. I see Ben Stiller as Steve McGarrett.
Yeah. Dean, if I could just have you stop talking altogether, that would be great. Okay.
Speaking of movies, they're starting to firm up the cast for the new feature film starring Robert De Niro and Al Pacino together on the screen, really, in essence, for the first time.
Yeah.
They had a little brief interaction in Heat, and of course they co-starred together in Godfather Part II, but they were in different centuries at the time. So I never saw them on the screen together. But this film called Righteous Kill, the cast, according to Daily Variety, has been announced. Brian Dennehy will be in it. I haven't seen Brian Dennehy in a while.
Mm-mm.
He's that fat guy with a big head?
Big
the
head,
one you fell
fat
asleep.
Guy. Yeah, we saw him in Death of a Salesman, Kevin,
right.
And you slept through the second act.
That was a good nap.
Of the great American play.
Kevin,
dude. His head back, just big.
Dude, we were in New York, and we were out all night. Who can stay awake when it's cool and dark? You know?
Oh, yeah, because there's no loud dialogue.
Yeah, guys are screaming on stage. Biff, you don't know what you're talking about. Dad, leave me alone. I want to work my own life. Kevin in the fourth row just sawing logs. Yeah. Then he's in it. John Leguizamo will be in it as well.
Love him.
Yeah. Carla Gugino.
Mm-hmm.
He's yummy. Donnie Wahlberg. 50 Cent.
Oh.
50.
50 in the movie. And professional skateboarder Rob Dyrdek of Robin Big.
Robin Big, yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be about two veteran cops played by De Niro and Pacino on the trail of a serial killer.
So they get to be buddies in this one. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
How about that?
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Fitty. Working with Pacino and De Niro.
I think we're talking to Fitty this weekend, by the way.
Are you really?
I think so.
Ask him what up with that.
Okay.
Wait, hey, what, you've done your movie with Pacino? You've done your movie with Pacino. No one else should be allowed to, Ralph?
Well, I just think, you know.
What up with that?
Al would give me a buzz and invite me along for the party.
Sure.
I think he's a little nervous. That's the problem. I blew him off the screen and duped him money.
That's true.
And now he's nervous that I'm going to make him look bad in this one.
And by blew him off the screen, you mean they left you on the cutting room floor?
No. He asked for my scenes to be trimmed so that I wouldn't show him up, I think.
Oh. Okay. I actually have, from the deleted scenes, I have some audio.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's Ralph and Two for the Money.
So, game's in 2 days.
No.
You talk to your team?
No, I'll have to.
Then it's all set. You throw the game. Reggie, my friend, you and I are going to be rolling in the dough.
Forget it.
What are you talking about?
Look, we're playing it straight. It's going to be a fair game, start to finish.
Wrong, man. You just made it into a bloodbath.
Like, Tina, come get some ham.
Yeah. Ralph actually mouths the words.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong, man.
You just made it into a bloodbath.
Forrest Whitaker?
Yeah, that was not from Two for the Money.
Oh, it wasn't.
That's from the ABC After School Special, A Class Act.
A Class Act.
Starring me and Ron Liebman.
Where's Rob today?
Available on Netflix everywhere. Actually, I don't think it is.
Horrible to me, but you seem happy, so yay!
Yeah. Wrong, man. I just love the Philly accent that comes out from my young acting performances. Sure. What are you talking about? speaking of Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, recently released is a poll out of the UK. That's England and some junk for okay. Lightning. For Lightning. The top 10 film gangsters of all time. You know me, I love the gangster movies. Can't get enough of the gangster movies. I'm torn because I love cop movies and gangster movies. I don't know which side of the law to be on.
Hmm.
But here's the top 10 gangsters of all time in movie history. Number 10, Robert De Niro as Ace Rothstein in Casino. I love me that Casino.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Martin Scorsese,
mm-hmm.
Joe Pesci,
don't remember
Sharon
much of that
Stone.
One.
You don't remember that one?
Yeah.
It was about pretty much the rise of Vegas in the 60s and 70s.
Did I see it in the last month?
No, you
no,
did not.
No, I don't.
Yeah, we're screwed.
But when you at the time you saw it, Kevin, it was one of your 10 favorite movies of all time.
Oh, I'm right. Sure that's true.
That's a three-hour movie. You know Kevin made it through about 40
yeah.
minutes.
We just pulled a big Brian Dennehy on it about halfway through. Ben Kingsley is Don Logan in Sexy Beast. That's
oh, yeah.
a great
It was
movie.
Great.
Kevin, any recognition
good.
At all?
It was good.
Bob Hoskins as Harold Shannon in The Long Good Friday. Another great, great gangster movie. Mm-hmm. Vinnie Jones as Big Chris in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Love that one.
He's so great. Number six, Al Pacino as Tony Montana in Scarface.
Yeah.
Classic.
Dude, only six. That's a surprise.
Not when you see the others. Number five, Jimmy Cagney, James Cagney as Rocky Sullivan in Angels with Dirty Faces. The original gangster movie from 1938. Number four, Robert De Niro as Al Capone in The Untouchables. So good in that movie. I caught that again recently. I forgot how great that movie was. David Mamet wrote the script for that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Awesome. Ray Liotta as Henry Hill in Goodfellas. You can pretty much pick anybody from that movie, and they could be number three. Number two, Robert De Niro as Don Vito Corleone in The Godfather Part Two.
Can I guess?
Sure. Number one,
Jim Carrey in The Mask. The Mask. Jim Carrey.
No. Marlon Brando as Don Vito Corleone in Godfather Part 1. There you
That's
go.
That's a good movie right there.
Yes, it is. And OK Magazine is reporting that Gwyneth Paltrow and her husband Chris Martin may be splitting up.
Uh-oh.
Really?
After 4 years of marriage, insiders are saying that the two are headed for divorce.
They seemed pretty solid, didn't they?
Yeah, but recently the two haven't been seen together for months, according to reports.
Really?
Insiders also say when the subject of Gwynnie's husband comes up, she tends to drop the subject and starts talking about their two children, Apple and Moses. Well, with names like Apple and Moses, how can you keep from talking about them, really? What if she usually says, aren't my kids named some effed up names? I wonder if that's how she starts the conversation.
Probably not.
Probably not. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rose McGowan. A bitch, but a very talented actress. Don't get me wrong. So good in Grindhouse. Her with her gun leg hopping around there. So good. 33 years old today. Dweezil Zappa. Of course, legendary guy named Dweezil. He's 38 years old today. Michael Keaton.
one of the most famous Batman in the world. A good Batman.
I think so, too.
But not a great
He
Batman.
Was.
He's no Adam West, is all I'm saying. Because he had to wear the padded, the padded suit with the muscles, where Adam had real muscles, you know.
I have to agree.
Pure West.
As much as I know Mike loves Christian Bale and others have their Batman fans, I have to agree that Adam West is still the best of all of them.
No. Yes.
Oh,
I
have to say he's the definitive.
He's the definitive. Right.
Christian Bale.
Absolutely right.
In the most recent, it was awesome.
No. Not the best Batman ever, though.
No. Oh, you guys are so high.
No.
Adam West.
That's right.
Adam West.
Sing it, Adam.
Now.
Sing it.
A little bit softer.
A little softer.
Now.
Yeah,
Adam West. Mm-hmm. Adam West. Adam West. Adam West.
See Christian Bale do that.
That's right.
He could.
Wasn't even close.
Are you kidding me? I agree it's not even close, by the way. I think Adam West is so head and shoulders above anybody else who's ever put on the cape and cowl.
Far superior. The original is still the best.
Rachel. Rachel, we always get you out of here. The scarecrow is coming.
What's up with that voice he was doing? What's that all about?
Dude, it was a cinematic decision that he made, and I like it.
Yeah, it was a decision, all right.
I like it as well.
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
Yes, please. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's say good morning to a K-Rush listener named James Gavigan. Good morning, James.
Morning, guys.
Hey, James.
So glad you included us on the email when you told us what the plan is, what you got going on here ahead of the football season, and you find yourself rudderless. You find yourself wanting to root for a football team, but looking around and going, "Hey, we don't have one." But you decided to do something about it.
Yeah, because normally what I've done for the past few seasons is root for whoever is playing the Raiders.
That's a good policy.
Okay, because they're the Raiders,
mm-hmm.
Right?
So
sure.
I just. But it really didn't give me a lot to root for because every week you're changing. You have no one team to really get behind, and it's really expensive buying 31 teams worth of stuff.
However, the good news with your policy, and I support you on that, is that if you root for whoever's playing the Raiders, you win almost every single week. Your team almost always wins.
That is a good fact, and it does get kind of expensive when you're celebrating with, that team's fans at the local bar.
Tell people about being raised here and why no Raiders, why no Rams?
Well, I grew up in L.A., and by the time I got into football, I wasn't the Rams and the Raiders had both moved away. I had a father, or still have a father. He's in Pasadena, and he was originally from the San Francisco area, and he's a 49ers fan. And back when I was growing up, there wasn't the broadcasting of games as there is now, so I never really got into the 49ers and just glommed onto his team as, Dad, you're their fan, I'll be their fan as well. So I just never really was able to get on to any team's bandwagon, and I got so desperate for an NFL team to support that I had season tickets to the XFL with the LA Extreme, which I'll tell you, some of the most exciting games I've ever been to is a cross between a strip club and a frat party.
See, that's good times right there.
You know, people who aren't sports fans, James, probably can't understand what it is you're saying about how much more fun. It's fun to watch any football game you can turn on and watch and have a good time if it's a good game. But if you are invested in a team, if if you get to the point where you're an actual fan and look forward to the games and root for the games and have something invested in how the season ends, man, it's so much more fun. Is it? You really feel like you're missing out on that now.
I do. I'm a UCLA fan, and I will tell you, they had a rather mediocre year last year. But that game against USC was the greatest football game I've ever seen. Because
it was amazing.
I'm such a UCLA fan. It was great to see them crush the pathetic Trojans.
Now, you're the Trojans are pathetic. That's right. That's,
in that game,
that's one
Kevin,
thing we've learned.
In that game, they were.
Now, you say I'm currently writing all 32 teams in the NFL.
Yes.
What is it that you're asking each team? The letter that you sent to us was a letter to the president of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I basically wrote the same letter to every team, and begrudgingly I did send it to the Raiders. Thank God they have not gotten back to me, so I don't even have to consider them. But I asked them why I should be a fan of their team. And if they, whatever team provided me with the most compelling reason would be the team that I would support for this year and for the rest of my life.
And by most compelling reason, you mean the most free stuff?
Well, if a few things end up in my mailbox, I'm not going to complain.
In case you're wondering, I wear an XL shirt, jacket, pants, and a 7 3/8 fitted ball cap.
Nice.
I also but have James, weekends free.
Yep.
But seriously, if it turns out that the Kansas City Chiefs send you a bitchin' refrigerator magnet, I mean, really, you're going to be a Chiefs fan just like that? You're able to just flip that switch and start, you know, go Kansas City?
Well, it's as arbitrary as being born someplace.
Well, sort of, except for you kind of feel like you're tied to that.
Well, he's got to start somewhere, though.
No, I
he does. Hey, look, we've had this conversation many times on our show before. Kevin is a perfect example of a guy who loves football and used to root for the LA teams. They moved away. He's got no one. So he's trying desperately to get, you know, to root for Arizona, which is where he's from. But even that's not terribly satisfying.
It's not satisfying at all. It's just I can't. I tried to do the same thing that that James is doing, and I tried to pick other teams, and I just felt like I kind of had to root for Arizona, which blows because they're a bad team.
Yeah.
They might be, you know, they might win a couple of more games this year, but that's about it.
But, you know, with, they're the good years, they're the bad years. You know, that happens with every sport. You know, the Dodgers were great. Now they're not doing so well. I'm still a Dodger fan.
Okay. All right.
Same with the Lakers.
All right. Is there a team in the lead right now based on what you've received back from the NFL clubs you've written to?
Well, the Detroit Lions are currently in the lead because I got a nice letter from Luis McDonald, Mr. Ford's executive assistant, a baseball cap. I got their media guide. And,
wow.
You know, that was rather nice.
But at some point, do you say, I don't know, though, it's the Detroit Lions. And Detroit as a city blows.
Well, you know, you've got M&M.
Okay, and
but if there was a Detroit Lions bar in Southern California where the Lions fans go to watch their games, at least you'd never have trouble getting a seat.
Exactly.
That's true.
Actually, sort of one of the things that is a bit of a selling point, because the Packers sent me some great stuff. They've got, you know, history of football, history of the Packers. You know, I think they're going to give me like a brick in their in their courtyard, because they sent me the paperwork for that. And it seems cool, but everybody's a Packers fan, and it seems sort of bandwagonish to get on the Packers bandwagon.
So it has to be someone bad?
Well, somebody that, you know, I could actually get tickets to a game would also be a plus.
Okay, yeah, that makes a difference.
Yeah, because Packers, I mean, you know, there's a 30-year waiting list or something like that to get tickets. All right, I think you've made a compelling case for what it is you're trying to do, James, and we are going to keep you on the line if you can hang out with us for a few minutes, and we're going to invite K-Rock listeners who have a team, a football team they already support, and give them the opportunity to sway you and maybe pitch you their club and see if that makes a difference. How's that sound?
Sounds good. You might as well tell the Raiders fans not to even bother, though.
All right, don't bother. James, are you a gay guy?
Not so much.
All right, Cowboys out.
Oh, okay. Hey, wait a
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
Ralph Garman has joined us in the studio. Ralph, I don't know if you were listening, but K-Rock listener James is on the line. He is in search of an NFL team. Does not have a team to root for. The season starts tomorrow night. He wants a team, and I understand you have a team maybe you could suggest for him.
I'm just surprised he's having such a hard time picking.
Wait a minute, you're a fan?
Because it seems like it's a pretty easy choice to me.
Hot Eagles fly on the road to victory.
Score a touchdown. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Hit 'em low.
Okay,
hit 'em
we don't have time for the whole song, but besides
and watch
the song.
Our Eagles fly.
What? Okay. All right, Ralph. Besides the song, what else do you like about the Eagles for James?
Well, this year we celebrate our 75th anniversary as a football team in the NFL.
75 years? Okay.
It's our 75th anniversary year. We've got a quarterback who's coming off of a devastating injury. I mean, the script is just written for the Cinderella season for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I did see Invincible. It was halfway decent film.
Pretty encouraging, wasn't it, Invincible?
It was. And it's no Rudy, but, you know, it's a pretty good film.
Let's say good morning to Claire as well in Los Files, who that's certainly not how you're supposed to say it.
Los Files. Yes, mon ami.
Claire is also an Eagles fan. Claire, what do you like about the Eagles?
Actually, a lot of things that Ralph said about it. I actually just got into football probably only 2 years ago, and I had a boyfriend that was into the Dolphins, and I just totally didn't get them for some reason.
Right.
And surprisingly, as much as it sounds funny, I have a huge crush on Ralph, so with his all big thing into the Eagles.
On Ralph Garman?
No, he's funny.
All right.
Well, but you haven't met him, though. I mean, you know what he looks like, right?
Stop it.
Thank you, Claire.
I know what he looks like.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah.
And you thought to yourself, any fans that throw snowballs at Santa Claus, I want to be a part of that.
Didn't the snowballs have batteries in them?
Oh, no, we used to throw batteries separately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was another thing we did, throwing batteries. We didn't have our own jail at the vet, the old stadium we used to play in. They used to have a jail cell there because the fans were so rowdy.
Yeah, those were good times. Claire, thank you very much for the call.
But also, this year we've got a brand new punter from the Australian Football League named Savroka, who is 6'5", 265 pounds. Our punter.
Yeah, but he's a punter.
He's huge. And he's Australian, so he's got the coolest nickname in the world. They call him the Crocodile Punter.
Nice.
Yeah. How great is that?
See?
How great is that?
What did they do?
Let's go to a Jacob on line 3. He's in Carson. He's got a club a little closer to home that he'd like to pitch, and he's got a compelling reason. Jacob, you're on the Kevin and Bean Sean Kerouac. What do you have for James?
Well, I mean, first of all, the Chargers are they're a rebuilding franchise still. They've never won a championship. They have a whole new staff of coaches. And they also have the most respectable MVP in the league, and that's LaDainian Tomlinson. I believe he's the best player in the league, and they also have a staff of Pro Bowl players from last year. But since they haven't won a championship yet, you can't really say you're jumping on the bandwagon. They're just an up-and-coming team, and they'd be great to follow.
And James, what about how close San Diego is in terms of heading down there and catching a game every once in a while? That's got to be appealing to you.
That is. You know, that's why a team like the Seahawks, the Niners or the Chargers would be ideal because they're just a quick drive or Southwest flight away.
Yeah, if you don't mind wearing powder blue when you go to the game.
He's a UCLA fan.
Powder blue. That's
come
true.
On.
He's used to wearing powder blue then, I guess.
Jacob, thank you for the call. By the way, just let me say a word about the Seahawks. They made it to the second round of the playoffs last year. They made the Super Bowl the year before. They have a lot of great, a lot of terrific players. Matt Hasselbeck is great. We got probably the best kicker in the game in Josh Brown. We got Sean Alexander. We got Deion Branch, of course, who's amazing. We got a good team up here too. That's something for you to consider, dude.
That's all in the positive category. And then they got you as a fan. Negative side.
That's a drawback.
You can't
one step forward, two steps back.
You can't choose that. Exactly. Let's go to Brittany and Ladera Ranch. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hi there. What team?
Cincinnati Bengals.
The Bungles?
Bengals.
I did get a letter from Mike Brown, the president and owner of the Cincinnati Bengals.
And?
He was very nice. He talks about Carson Palmer being from USC. There's also several people from the Southern California and California area that's on their team.
I think that's how a lot of people that don't have home teams choose. If it's somebody you watched in college and they go to whatever, then you just kind of follow in the, follow their footsteps.
I just pick them because I like Tigers and they have the coolest uniforms.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Brittany.
Works for me.
I thought you said they have the coolest uniforms. Okay.
He likes Tigers.
Thanks for the call.
Sure. You heard our call with Roy Horton earlier today.
You got Ocho Cinco there, too. Yeah.
James, don't you feel kind of like if they've got enough time to answer your ass, maybe they're not putting enough time into the field, the team, and the winning the championships.
Front office is sort of lackluster.
Well, that should rule teams out if they send you a letter back, shouldn't it?
I would say it should give me more reason to respect their team, that they care about the fans.
I agree.
The 28 other teams that don't give a crap about me.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, the Raiders, you're right. They're never going to write you back because most of them can't write. I mean, let's all be fair here.
How does he do it?
No, you didn't.
See what he did there?
Let's go to Tanya in Sun Valley. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Hi, Tanya.
I like that just as many girls are calling as guys. I like that.
Yeah.
Except for the last girl, you don't like their uniforms. You Kansas City Chiefs, why?
Oh, yeah. I've been a Chiefs fan for the past 4 years now.
Ooh, sorry.
Why?
She sounds like she should be a Raider Chiefs fan.
She sounds like she should be a Raider fan?
Yeah.
No way, Raiders are traitors. I hate them.
Those two words rhyme.
See what you did there?
Why the KC Chiefs? How come?
Well, one, Trent Green, too bad we lost them, but we got Larry Johnson, we got Dante Hall, Priest Holmes, I mean, we got great players, not to forget Tony Gonzalez.
Sure.
Well, they had like about 8 Pro Bowlers like about maybe 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're great players. They're just an awesome team. Too bad Big Vermeil isn't the coach anymore, but... You know, I still got their back. I still got their back. Chiefs fan all the way.
All right, okay. Tanya.
My only fear of being a Chiefs fan is that the Raider fans hate the Chiefs so much,
I
could get shanked.
Dude, you're going to get shanked already. I mean, seriously, come on.
Why? How come?
Because he's going to be out there talking smack about the Raiders, and he's going to get shanked. That's going to happen.
So but he'll have the truth as his defense on his dying bed.
If he doesn't pick the Raiders, his life's in danger? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
No, he's already gone on the air and said like 5 or 6 inflammatory things about the Raiders. He's done.
I see. So it doesn't really matter at this point.
Yeah. Sam,
why do you think I had to move away, James?
Sam in Sun Valley, for example, is holding on. He's saying, well, let's go to Sam. Let's see. Sam's on line 5. Sam, good morning. That's Gretchen. Sorry. This new phone system.
Top notch shit, you're on over there.
Yep, sure is.
We're not even in Vegas yet.
Sam in Sun Valley, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Sam.
Now, you're a Raider fan. What do you think about Jimmy Tell?
Hey, let me be the first guy to shank that dude, man. I don't want Urkel rooting for the Raiders.
Sweet. You don't want him. They don't need you, James.
We don't want a pussy on the team.
Yeah!
Now, Raiders! Now, Sam, the good thing about Raider fans, and I'm going to give you a compliment here, although it may not sound like one, is you love your team just as much when they win 2 games as when they win 12 games, right? Doesn't matter to you.
Oh, dude, I love the Raiders. And, Bean, you better watch your back, too.
That's right.
Hey, Sam, could you name, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 players from the team?
Sure. We got Michael Huff. We got Lamont Jordan. We got Justin Fargas.
3.
We got Dante Culpepper.
See, he thought you just loved the silver and black.
Dude, I'm not one of those gangster fans, dude, that just likes them for their colors, dude. You know, I actually watch the games.
That's right.
Yeah. You're a real fan who shanks people. You're no thug.
Dude, I'll shank you all.
Wow.
Thanks for the call.
Shank you very much.
That is a lot of shanking.
I think my decision's been made.
I believe we'll end it there. Thank you for calling, James. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, and let us know if you find any come to a conclusion, all right?
Yeah, I'll give you a call, and maybe I can report on Mondays how my future team does.
Probably not, but let us know.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Shall we meet our special guest, Kevin?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, say good morning to Stephen Hawking.
Hello, Kevin and Bean.
Now, you're our little robot friend, Mr. Hawking. You're still in the wheelchair, but still feeling fine, basically, right?
Yes, still in the wheelchair. Thank
you. Is that insensitive?
No, that's a point of pride.
And what do you have? You got the Lou Gehrig's? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Still have the Lou Gehrig's disease.
And you're still
for asking.
Astrophysicist or whatever it is you do?
Still smartest mother effer on the planet.
Okay.
So suck it, bitch.
Now, I didn't know this until you were caught crank calling assistant producer Alex yesterday and talking dirty to her, but apparently you are a big Foo Fighters fan and you're going to help us give away the tickets here this morning.
I love Foo Fighters.
Okay.
I love anything to do with Foos.
Okay, it's time to play Hawking the Hitman.
A guy who's lean, a guy who's clean, a guy who talks with a machine. It's time for Stephen Hawking now. Stephen Hawking now. It's time for Hawking the Hits.
Stephen Hawking.
Okay, let's meet our first contestant. We got Ruben, who is a student at Cerritos College. Now, the way the game is going to work, as I understand, Mr. Hawking, is that you're going to be reading lyrics from a Foo Fighters song, and all Ruben, the contestant, has to do is tell us the name of the song. Is that right?
Actually, my computer will be reading. I'll be typing.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, of course, yeah. And then everybody who, if Ruben, for instance, comes up with the title of the song, we put him in a drawing that Lisa does at the end. We find out who wins the tickets for the September 15th K-Rock LA Invasion. Good morning to you, Ruben.
What's up?
You ready to hawk the hits?
Yeah.
Listen up.
It's a shame we have to die, my dear. No one's getting out of here alive this time.
What do you think there, Ruben?
Recognize that, Ruben?
Damn, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Hold on.
Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters.
That's the tip.
Hold on while I Google the lyrics.
Foo Fighters.
Gotta have an answer, dude.
It's, I think it's No Way Back.
That would be DOA.
Gotta tell ya, Stephen Hawking, you are one funky mofo, man. I really felt it.
I always wanted to be a rock star.
Jennifer in Los Angeles, good morning.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Jennifer.
What's going on?
Say hi to the smartest man alive, Stephen Hawking.
Hey.
Here's your song. I can't tell you what she did to me. but me body will never be the same. Her lovin' will kick your behind. Oh, she'll show you no mercy.
All right, Jennifer, Foo Fighters song, what is it?
Darling Nikki.
Wow.
Yes.
Who thought she was going to come up with that?
Not I. What you did to me, but my
body will never be the same. That's what that is. Thank you. Hold on. You're in the drawing.
Wow. Wow.
Steven, did you think she was going to get that?
No. Effing way.
All right. That was very impressive.
Mike in Chino Hills. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Lisa May, how's it going?
Good, Mike.
Stephen Hawking, let's have the lyrics.
And I wonder if everything could ever feel this real forever, if anything could ever be this good again.
Before you answer, Mike, I'm going to tell you that if you don't get this one correct, you're going to have to stop listening to K-Rock entirely.
Everlong.
Yes, it is. All right, thank you.
Well, the word ever was only in the lyrics like 20 times, I guess. Let's try Ida Monrovia. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning.
Listen up. We got the great Stephen Hawking on the line. We are hawking the hits. Go ahead, doctor.
Ida. Oh. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, never mind. Here's your song. All night long, I dream of the day when it comes around and it's taken away. Leaves me with the feeling that I feel the most.
All night long, I dream.
She's That's singing it. Will she come up with the title?
You're singing it. We need the title.
All night long?
Lionel Richie. Lionel Richie song.
That is a Lionel Richie song. No, this is All My Life. All night long, a dream of the day. Sorry about that. Thank you for playing, though. All right, let's go to Tiffany in Los Angeles. Good morning, Tiffany.
Hi.
Say hi to Steven as he gives you your lyrics.
All this time to make amends. What do you do when all your enemies are friends?
Pretender?
That was Monkey Wrench. All the time to make amends.
That Tiffany sounded kind of hot, Stephen. How do you do with the ladies these days? I know you recently went through a divorce.
I am splitting more tail than ever.
Okay.
Rough them up.
Okay.
Well, chicks like the smart guys, that's for sure.
Christina, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, you ready for your lyrics?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here's Stephen Hawking.
I'm a one-way motorway.
Is that funny, Stephen?
Stephen?
I'm a road that drives away and follows you back home. I'm a street light shining.
All right, what's that song?
Foo Fighters, if that's a hint that you've not previously thought of.
I can, sing it to you. I don't know the words.
I know. That would be my problem with this entire game.
Hey.
You can't even use that kind of language.
Sorry.
Sounds like he didn't come up with times like these. All right. How about one more? See if we can get somebody else in the drawing. What do you guys think?
All right. Chris in West Covina. Good morning.
Am I on?
Yes.
No.
I feel good about this.
All right. Here's your lyrics.
Visiting is pretty. Visiting is good. Seems that all they ever wanted was a brother.
Foo Fighters song?
Easy Oot. Now.
Oot.
My Hero?
This is a call. Visiting is pretty. Visiting is good. Seems that all they ever... All right, there you go. All right, so who do we have a drawing or do we not?
We have a drawing. We have Jennifer,
And Mike.
And Mike.
All right, Jennifer and Mike.
And the winner is Mike in Chino Hills.
Mike in Chino Hills just got the tickets. Congratulations, Mike. Thank you for playing Hawking the Hits.
Sweet.
You want tickets to the K-Rock Show
Convention. Sweet. He has a computer, too.
Sweet. Thank you, Stephen Hawking. We appreciate it.
Sweet. Stephen Hawking.
Sure wish you guys could have been listening to Lightning talk about the Iraq War during that STP song.
He's got quite a grasp.
You missed the you missed magic.
He's a general, he's regular General Petraeus.
Look, I know that the Founding Fathers believed that all Americans should have a vote, but at this point, can't we like start making exceptions on who gets the vote? I mean, really?
No, because I'll be right up there on the list.
That's true.
Oh, that's true.
So that won't
work. It's 7:56. By the way, we're already a little giddy, and we haven't even left yet, but we are going to be broadcasting live from Las Vegas tomorrow and Friday and Monday. The 2007 MTV Video Music Awards are going to be Sunday night, so we'll tell you more about that next hour, something you can really look forward to about when we go to Las Vegas. We'll tell you about next hour. Plus, debut of a brand new song from Serge Tankian. I bet he's going to be yelling at some people about some stuff. It's called Empty Walls. We'll play that after the news. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat.
Well, the bad news is Psycho Mike can't come out to visit us in Vegas this weekend.
What?
Why?
He was planning to.
I know he was.
Coming out on Friday?
I've just changed his plans.
Okay. What's going on?
This Saturday, September the 8th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Gold's Gym in Venice, California, the open call auditions for the return of American Gladiators.
Yay!
American Gladiators is back, people!
When was that on?
It greatest
on
show ever
20
is returning!
Years ago? Something like that?
Whatever!
Oh, early 90s, wasn't it?
I miss it so!
You don't miss American Gladiators.
Loved American Gladiators!
Loved it.
How great was that show, Psycho
Loved
Mike?
Loved it.
Isn't that the where they get
like... Were these guys like in spandex and they had to do...
Yeah, Nitro! Yeah. Nitro and Vixen and... Jet.
And then they would shoot like tennis balls
shoot
at him and
they
had to
get through the
avoid them.
You had to get through the.
And they had like jousting and then they had like the power ball where you had like.
They roll around and
get
on top.
Like a padded trash can essentially. But, like, there was like buff dudes like stopping you.
And remember the big gerbil balls, whatever they had? You had to like wheel around and land on top of those things. A big thing, a smoke pot would go off when you got there.
You guys know you're talking about the Gladiator show,
and you had to
right?
go through the maze, and you know which door to pick, and there's a gladiator waiting for you on the other side with a pad.
You picked the wrong door, and Hawk was on the other side that hit you.
Hawk and Nitro.
You didn't want Turbo on the other side, Kevin.
You chicks had to deal with Zap. Remember Zap?
And Ice.
Ice.
Oh my
Shut
God.
The hell up.
Copy that.
It's the greatest show ever. Well, it's coming back to NBC, and they're looking for new gladiators.
Mike could be a good gladiator.
I don't see how Mike can't be there for that.
They're looking for contenders and gladiators. So either you can try to be one of the gladiators who takes on the regular contestants, or you can audition to be a contestant.
I see. Clearly not big enough to be a gladiator, but I could. I'd definitely be a contestant.
You dominate, right?
I'd serve them. You serve them up proper like?
You and Lightning should go down. I think Lightning should compete, too.
You guys would be surprised how good I could do.
You know what? Just because I look like this doesn't mean I'm not an athlete. My nickname would be Fat.
What time and where, Ralph?
It is at Gold's Gym in Venice, California, which is already a place Psycho Mike knows very well.
Yes.
From 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. this Saturday, September the 8th, Gold's Gym is at 360 Hampton Drive in Venice, California. For more information, you can go to goldsgym.com or nbc.com/casting for more details. But you will be tested on your physical ability in areas such as strength, speed, balance, and agility. We recommend bringing a workout towel.
That's serious if you bring a towel.
That's what we recommend for our show as well.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
American Gladiators. I don't think I've been this excited in a long, long time.
Probably not since Transformers.
Pretty much. NBC, American Gladiators coming back.
Your excitement is...
But it's Saturday, and I know you were planning on being in Vegas on Saturday.
Look,
I'm just concerned. I'm concerned. You're missing out on the opportunity of a lifetime.
Look beyond my enjoyment. What do you guys think I should do? You are still my
Get
bosses.
On that show.
Okay.
And wear a singlet.
Okay.
One of those spandex singlets.
Like Dave has on the picture on KRock.com.
If I get refunds on my flight and my hotel and you guys bitch me out because I'm not there in Vegas because I was too busy gladiating.
Dude, if you got to gladiate, you got to gladiate.
That's
Nitro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Turbo. Mm-hmm. Douchey. That'll be his stage name. I like it.
But when you don't make it, we need a full... apology.
Come on, serve them. I'll serve them.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about me making it.
Okay.
Especially as a contestant.
All right.
Once I peel down in the American...
Easy. What did I just hear?
You can't say the F word.
You said three of the four letters.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, I self-edited.
He's so excited.
I'm pumped. My nipples are hard, dude.
All right.
You know, you really should be on television. You're a dashing-looking guy.
Really?
Yeah, matinee idol profile.
Thank you.
Yeah, so people should see you as well as hear you.
Well, Sulu says so.
That's a guy with, like, 30 years of television experience.
Yeah. who's a legendary homo.
I know. But beyond that.
He was just picking you up. That's what he was
doing.
That's
what was happening. Exactly. It was flattery.
He was coming
at Alex says there's some big UFC party that you need to be at in Las Vegas on Saturday night, Mike.
Oh, that's right.
That you can't go to the Gladiators this time.
We have a huge party.
I'm sure they'll have more trials.
Well, we'll see.
Oh, are you sure? Oh, are you sure? A little Miss NBC? Are you Miss GE?
If the show takes off, they'll have to.
How about Dave the King of Mexico being a gladiator?
I like it. Mexican gladiators. He can do the spinoff down south.
In a bumblebee suit.
I am a Mexican gladiator. They call me Guapo. They call me Gordo.
That would be magic.
Well, sorry, Mike.
All right, guys.
We'll figure it out.
Sorry. You're going to miss that American gladiator. He's posing behind us now.
Great.
Congratulations to Toby Maguire. Toby got married.
Oh.
This apparently coming out.
That was the most disinterested O ever.
Happened on Monday. He dated his, married his longtime girlfriend, Jennifer Meyer.
A girl?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's where the comes in. I mean, I was silent because they're like,
what state did he go to, right?
Well, the two have a 9-month-old daughter, Ruby. They've been together for
adopted,
some time.
Right?
Not adopted.
That proves everything.
It came from her loins.
The legend is.
So, apparently they did this all under the radar. Paparazzi left them alone because nobody knew what was happening. Us Weekly says that Leonardo DiCaprio was present at the ceremony. Holding hands with Toby, standing across from him. No, he was his best
man. No, you can
man,
do it, dude. You can do it. Hang in there.
Ceremony took place on...
It's not that bad. Just close your eyes.
took place on the island of Hawaii. So congratulations to Spider-Man and his new wife.
I hope he had the Spidey emo haircut in the wedding photos.
He was dancing up a storm, though, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Doing that Spidey number that he did on the bar in the movie.
Worst movie ever.
And not nearly as good news for Jude Law. He was arrested today.
Uh-oh. For what?
For assault on a photographer. He is said to have attempted to grab the photographer's camera in an alleged incident in West London. The guy pressed charges, and cops came around and picked him up.
Interesting.
He was arrested on suspicion of actual bodily harm.
Is that a charge?
Yes.
Actual bodily harm.
Yes, actual bodily harm. We're charging you with actual bodily harm.
Why is the word actual in it?
Because it's actually bodily harmed someone.
Is it bodily harm, bodily harm?
Actually it is, yes, okay. Actually.
Well, maybe there's a distinction between you try to hurt someone but you don't versus you actually do hurt them. Maybe
attempted
that's what
bodily harm and actual bodily harm are two different things.
I don't know anything more about the story than what I've heard you say, Ralph, but I am siding with Jude Law on this one as being in the right and the photographer being in the wrong.
I am too. He turned himself into a police station, and they released him on bail, but bad news. Didn't like him. Poor dude. Hayden Panettiere.
Yes.
Yes. He's off Dave's list.
Dave's the King of Mexico.
Yeah, we just found out that although she just turned 17, she's had a tattoo for about a year now. She got it when she was 17.
18, please.
Just turned 18, I'm sorry. She got a tattoo when she was 17.
Right.
The astrological sign for her sign, Leo, it's on her ankle. And her mom was upset when she realized that her little girl had a permanent tattoo on her. I asked Dave, I said, does this mean she's off your girls you'll have sex with list? It depends on the size.
Really?
If she can hide it from me, then it's okay.
Well, that's big of him.
Yeah,
that's
it is. Really.
Put a big
very
bandage
big-hearted
on her ankle
hey,
so
woman,
she can have sex with Dave.
Put a band-aid on that for me. I can look at it.
Depending on what position he chooses, he may or may not see her ankles. Since that's never going to happen, I think he's pretty safe by saying it's a deal breaker.
Sexier Latin heartthrob, me or Wilmer Valderrama? Be honest and objective.
I think you're both very sexy. Yes,
you got that right, sister.
Is that Hayden Panettiere?
Right. That's
Hayden.
Creepy.
Yeah.
And R. Kelly's child porn trial has been postponed yet again.
No.
How?
The trial was set to begin jury selection on September the 17th. However, the lead prosecutor in the case, Shauna Bolliker, just became a new mom. So they're pushing it back until she can get off maternity leave.
Are they waiting for the girl that he peed on to die?
From old age.
What the hell?
So, looks like it's going to be a little bit longer before we get things started again. We'll have to hold off. How much time? I'm running late. In about an hour, I'll tell you some stories about the Bridge School Benefit, which is always a great concert that Neil Young throws every year.
Sure.
Great lineup for that. The original bass player for Van Halen, Michael Anthony, speaks out on why he's not doing the tour. And we'll also talk about some pregnant and married celebrities that I didn't get to. So stick around in an hour or so. I'll be back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. I'm Ralph, and I'm
the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Now it's time for Kevin's Documentary Corner. What do you have for us today,
well,
Kevin?
First of all, if you have kids in the car, you might want to remedy that situation because they may not know that Grandpa can do that. And this next movie is quite serious and quite harsh.
Grandpa shouldn't do that.
No. It's called Children of God Lost and Found. And I watched it a little while back. Noah Thompson is the director and the star. He's on the phone with us. Good morning, Noah.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Noah.
My God, I didn't realize how good I had it growing up until I saw your family.
I mean,
the Children of God is a cult that was started by was it father or grandfather?
No, actually, it wasn't my father. It was just another guy, but he was like our grandfather. We called him grandfather.
Oh, so I see. Okay.
He was like the father figure.
And the Children of God cult still exists today, Noah?
Yeah, I mean, they've changed their name and they've shed a lot of their controversial doctrines, and now they're known as something completely different. The family, I believe.
They're known as the
family. How many members are in cults like the ones we're going to talk about that you grew up in? Worldwide, is there any idea of how many people are living the kind of life that you talk about in your film?
In the Children of God, it was like 10,000 worldwide. As far as other cults, I mean, you know, define cults. It's, you know, there's a bunch of them out there. New religious movements, but I couldn't put a figure on it at all. But
how is it that so many of these cults can survive for so long without the outside world running into people who are in them and figuring out a way to bust them up legally and prosecute the people that are involved in, you know, the molestation and everything else that goes on?
You know, that's a good question, but I think it's because they stay obscure. And like, I spent the first 14 years of my life in Brazil. So, you know, law enforcement over there, you can stay under the radar pretty well. And, I mean, I grew off the grid completely. So
the guy who founded the family was named David Berg.
Exactly.
He founded it in, was it Huntington Beach?
Huntington Beach, California.
And then they moved to Brazil.
Wow.
And basically as you know, it's as depressing as, I mean, just when you hear a girl say, my earliest memory is, and it's some kind of sex with grandpa. I mean, that just is just brutal. You can't imagine somebody grew up that way and is still alive.
Yeah.
And Noah, here's what I don't understand about the cults. Why aren't there other – there are plenty of adults in the cult. Where's their conscience when this is going on, when they can see little kids being molested? Why is it they don't break out or speak out?
I guess that's kind of like the journey of the whole film, really, is to try to figure out, you know, why didn't people step in and try to regulate the situation? But, you know, you grow up communal and there's bad seeds in the group, and not everyone is a pedophile, but the ones that are have plenty of leeway and latitude to do what they want to do. So it's just hard to govern. And then when you have the leader promoting it, then, you know, it kind of people pass a blind eye.
Now, what age did you get out of the family?
I was on the books over there until I was about 21. I started to distance myself at about 18, but I was still a member till 21.
Was it difficult for you to leave? I don't mean, I know you wanted to, but did the family make it difficult for you to go out into the world?
By the time I left, they had, I think they knew that a lot of their kids were going to leave because others had left before me. I think the hardest part was just the preparation factor, you know, just no education, no money, no real structure or support. So, not that you're set up to fail, but the odds are difficult. And, you know, me and my brothers ended up just living in a basement for over a year in San Francisco. Those are the hardships. And then there's the guilt and the condemnation that they place on you for leaving. But, when you tell them you want to leave, they're not going to stop you at this point. You know what I mean? You're
right.
21 and it's, okay, you're either for us or against
us. I got to tell you, the other thing that was so troubling to me is that, the guy is the molester, but he's the leader of the family. The fact that your mom, who you try to search out during this entire movie, would not, you know, turn her back on them or really even get together and talk with you, didn't want to have anything to do with the movie.
Does she deny what happened?
The leader?
Your mom.
Oh, my mom. Yeah, I think she does deny it pretty vehemently.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to believe that she didn't know. And it's quite. There's a good chance that she didn't, and possibly a lot of other people in the group didn't know about it. But, you know, I mean, there's enough room to question, you know, whether or not they did.
So, I don't know. I mean, that's the whole point of the film, is to try to figure out, hey, why did this happen and why didn't anybody say anything about it?
So Noah gets a truck and drives all the way back to Brazil and tries to find, like, members of the family that left and talk to them about it and find out what their situation was like.
Yeah, I shot the first half of the film here in the States, and then I started questioning, you know, I spent the first 14 years of my life in Brazil. I'm curious to see what other kids that grew up down there and along the way, how their life's faring, you know, whether or not they had the opportunity to come back. There's, like, American kids that just figured, hey, I know Brazil or Central America better than I know the States. I'm going to stay down there. So I took a drive. It took me 3 months. 3 months of solid driving, like white-knuckle driving, but...
This is Noah Thompson we're talking to, who's the director of a fascinating new documentary called Children of God, Lost and Found, that airs tonight, September 5th at 7 o'clock on Cinemax. I wanted to ask you about this guy, David Berg, who's the founder of The Cold. How was he thought of in the family? Was he looked at like a Christ-like figure? Did people think that he had some sort of connection with God and that he was sort of salvation?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, he was a prophet. He was like the direct mouthpiece for God and Jesus, and he was a prophet.
But wasn't there anybody along the way that said, hey, guy who follows God, what about the molesting of children? Or do you just grow up with it and you just...
You know, he had a whole thing that unto the pure all things are pure, and whatever is done in love is love. And he didn't just come out, and the beginning, the precepts in the beginning weren't to do that. But he slowly, people just started to abandon, I think, their critical thinking skills and started to follow him as they trusted him.
Do you think he ever started out being a truly, you know, honorable religious person?
I think he did, but I think he was always left of center. I mean, his own daughters, two of his daughters, his biological daughters, you know, reported like early sexual abuse before he even started the group.
Right.
So, you know, I think he was twisted from the beginning, but I mean, his intentions may have been decent. And maybe that was his weakness. I don't know.
No kidding. Right. Yeah. What little we know about you shows you to be a smart, articulate guy with talent. Obviously, you've made this movie that's very good. But how has it been for you personally since you left The Cold, in terms of being able to trust, in terms of being able to have relationships, have normal sexual relationships? What's that been like for you?
Who clued you into my life? Oh boy. No, it's been tough. I do fine, but I'm single and. You know, relationships are tough. I mean, I think, you know, getting to a point where you actually trust somebody unconditionally is difficult. Then again, I don't know that you ever should trust somebody unconditional. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Some of the other kids that came from the family have had even a harder time than you have. The one guy that ended up killing himself, it seemed like everybody saw that coming, felt it was going to happen. Is that true?
I think the writing was on the wall pretty well with him. I mean, I don't know. I never thought that he'd take it to the length that he did, but I knew he was definitely depressed and had a lot of deep-seated issues. But, you know, I mean, as far as he went, I didn't see it coming.
Well,
I want to clarify, because in the film, I talked to him a month before he does it, and people have asked me, hey, did you know about this?
Right.
Come on now. I don't know. I mean, some people have done better than others, and I think it all kind of goes back to what you experienced inside the group and how you've been able to. But the other point of the film is I think that you have to move on. That you, at a certain time in your life, you have to say, look, this stuff happened. I have to deal with it. However, I have to do that, but I have to continue with my life, you know what I mean, and move on. If not, you're guaranteed to... take the dive, you know what I mean?
Yep, sure. One of the fascinating things about your documentary, and one of the reasons why documentaries are so powerful, is they give us a chance to see things that are so far removed from our world that we, in many cases, don't even know exist. And what I loved about your film is how much footage you shot in the early days and how many pictures and videos you had of, you know, you and the kids growing up and what it was actually like living for you. And I guess it was just fortunate that you had so much of that around when you decided to finally end up making a movie, huh?
Yeah, I mean, when I left the group, you know, like I said, I had questions, and I was like, you know, I want to get some answers. So I started to collect stuff and ask questions and shoot stuff. And it just came together. I found a stockpile of old archival video footage from back in the day. And, I mean, it was just like it was a hunt. That's why it took as long as it did. And thankfully, I got backing by HBO eventually to help me do it. But, yeah, I mean, I just got lucky. I got lucky. And I think growing up in the group, I knew that there was a lot of stuff available out there. It was just a matter of finding it.
The documentary is called Children of God, Lost and Found. It debuts tonight at 7 o'clock on Cinemax. I'm sure it will not be a one-time-only airing. You'll have the opportunity to catch it again. But do try to see it tonight to make sure you don't miss it. Noah Thompson is the director and you know, gives us not only his firsthand view, but as he said, tracks down other people to find out what their experiences were. Very sobering, very troubling, but fascinating, Noah. And we appreciate your time to come on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. Best of luck.
All right.
Bye now.
Like, we haven't suffered enough between the Surge song and the child molestation documentary. Now we got to take Kevin to Las Vegas. That's what you're saying? What fresh hell is this?
The reason we go on these trips to Vegas is not so much to broadcast, it's because Kevin likes to get loaded and then get on the microphone. For some reason, that gives him a thrill unlike any other. For him to be juiced out of his head then try to talk.
I got news for you. I'd much rather not do the show and just get juiced out of my head. No, that'd be so much more fun.
I think you live for the,
for
the mornings when you roll in from a strip club at 5:30 a.m. Eating a fat burger and just get hop. Put your cans on and hop right behind the big talking stick.
Nope. Nope. I always go, I should just call in. Oh, I can't do that. That's my.
Next time you get that feeling, feel free. Sick. Yeah, because we're always saying, how is he still here? Why didn't he call in sick? That's how we think.
Here's the one thing I can count on about going to Las Vegas with Kevin, because we've broadcast from them a number of times, and we'll be doing it again tomorrow and then Friday and then on Monday, is that I'm guaranteed at least once every 12 hours to hear these words out of Kevin. Seriously, guys. I'm never going to drink again.
But he doesn't say that usually until after the trip's over. He won't say it much while we're in Vegas for 6 days, however how long we're going
to
be there.
I usually limit my trips to Vegas to about 2 days because I might die.
Yeah. Usually when he gets back from Vegas, that's when he pulls out the I'll never drink again.
Should we put him in a death pool?
Usually in Vegas, he says, I'll never stop drinking again. That's what he says. Usually.
Right. Or a DUI pool. One of the two.
Dare you. Or both.
Ralph, who was the legendary guest that we had on that was really the all-time great Kevin interview? He was some sort of a mob attorney or something? Who was he?
No, he was a high-end defense attorney in the city of Las Vegas. And I can't quite remember why we're talking to him. I think he might have written a book or something.
Yeah, but he was the host of the Wynn or wherever we were staying. Like, he was our host. He was our liaison or whatever.
No, you're thinking of Joe Esposito, who used to work for Elvis, that guy. No. We talked to him as well during that trip.
I don't remember that very well.
This is a different guest. Okay. He was a high-end defense attorney in the city of Las Vegas, and we were talking. Do we have the tape? Are we going to play that?
No.
We're going to rely on you.
We don't.
We're asking
him. I was nothing but professional.
And Kevin just, you know, law and order rider over here. You know, that's what we call him around here. He was incensed that this guy was a defense attorney. How can you defend criminals in a court of law? Kevin could not wrap his mind around the other half of the legal system. He got prosecution. He got that part down.
Yeah, at that moment.
But the defense part, he couldn't see how anybody could be defended. And the lawyer was saying, look, that's what I do. It's our legal system. You have to have the best possible.
Constitutionally protected that everybody gets a legal defense, guilty or innocent.
Best
right.
possible defense. So they can, when the state puts up their case, you have an equally strong case for the defense on the other side. How do you sleep at night? Kevin started to berate this guy for what he did.
He actually asked that.
How do you sleep at night? And the lawyer said, well, I'd rather, you know, 100 guilty men go free than one innocent man spend one day behind bars. Wrong! Wrong! Better than all the innocent men in prison and the guilty ones in the prison.
That is not how I sounded.
That's exactly how you sounded.
The only thing I remember about that interview was being just out of my mind that you guys weren't with me. Like,
I didn't know what the hell you were saying to be with you. Wrong!
Why am I alone on this one?
Better all the innocent men in the prison than one guilty man go free. How do you sleep at night?
Kevin has a system where he decides who's guilty and who's innocent just based on looking at him. Ralph, you know that.
He gets a vibe.
Right, he gets a vibe.
Only the magic eight ball.
Only when I drink a lot. Yeah. And then we got the King of Mexico who drinks a lot and stops traffic on Las Vegas Boulevard. And then we got Omar who's going to be coming this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Omar is going to be there? Oh, that's trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not going to go well.
You guys talked about Joe Esposito, and he was mentioning some of his earlier times with Elvis.
Right.
And the Memphis Mafia got brought up.
Right.
And Kevin was hammered. He goes, why do they call it the Memphis Mafia? Well, we were all, you know, Elvis and his crew originated from Memphis. And there's a lot. But why Mafia? Because there's a group of us, and
Kevin thought they were organized crime
Elvis
leaders.
And the guy gives his explanation. Kevin goes, well, that's just stupid.
Look.
Elvis, for Christ's
sake. Hey, he's leaving night.
That's just stupid.
Now, here's the way my night goes. My night starts off drinking hard, and then about one or two, I think, boy, I better start slowing down. I got to work.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then the very next minute, I completely forget about that, and I start drinking hard again right till 5:30, and that's not
Yeah, we've seen Kevin before roll in literally from a strip club, loaded off his ass. We've been in the middle of the opening of the show. We're broadcasting. Kevin stumbles in with a fat burger in one hand and just leans on his elbows at the edge of a table, eating it, watching us do it, as if he couldn't. He was like at the zoo or something. He was trying to figure out what the animals were doing. He couldn't quite get it. Like, we're on the air. We're doing the show. Would you like to join us?
It's okay.
It's very much like that.
It was nothing like that.
How dare you?
Yeah. Didn't he also, that lawyer guest?
That's Kevin in Vegas.
Didn't he also grab the dude's water, like, from his hand as he sat down?
No, that was yours.
That was yours, baby.
That was yours, yeah.
And how did that go? What was the story of that?
Psycho tells this one best.
they were listening to it yesterday in the other studio, just on the floor laughing.
You were starting the show. And I mean, you did the entire pre-recorded show intro, and now our feature presentation. And all of a sudden I hear, Kevin, that's mine. And Kevin actually just grabbed Bean's bottle of water to start the show, usually when he's supposed to talk. And you hear Bean go, that's mine. Kevin goes, you can get more. And you hear him chugging on the mic.
Why don't we have that audio to play?
Well, it's unfortunate, but it's gone. So
what happened to it?
That's good times.
Someone may have tampered with the tapes, Kevin. Oh, is that what you're saying?
You're such a coward.
So today we're going to Vegas. Tomorrow we're broadcasting from Vegas. Then we're going to spend the night in Vegas tomorrow night as well. Then we're going to broadcast Friday. Then we're going to spend Saturday and Sunday night in Vegas.
Oh, dear God.
And then we're going to broadcast Monday.
Yeah. Let's not forget when we also try to host games over the phone where we have callers call in.
Oh, that was the best.
And I'm back here running the board, and Kevin's trying to run the show from Vegas. Okay, caller number three, you get – wait, no, Christine, you stay. No. Wait, how about – no, what, five more times?
Grant,
five,
where is she?
Okay.
Where is she? Oh. Of course, he does that when he's sober, too.
How do you get to play
me like that?
He's
doing that earlier today, actually. So it has nothing to do with the drinking, that particular aspect.
Kevin, goddammit. Your wife called after that last conversation about you drinking in Vegas. She's not trying to put the kibosh on that, I hope.
No, God, no.
Okay, good. Because you're way more fun when you drink in Vegas.
She knows that some jobs are just unwinnable, and that's one of them. So
exactly.
It's not going to happen.
All right. 323-520-AFRO. That's the phone number we've set up for you. It's an answer machine. You can call 24 hours a day. Anytime you think of something entertaining for the Kevin and Bean listeners, you call. We put it on the air like this.
Bean was playing some audio yesterday from Jerry Lewis from the telethon. And,
oh, dear God.
He is clearly out of his mind, and I mentioned as much. At some point, don't you have to, you know, pass the telethon on to somebody younger who can actually use the English language?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin, I think you might be right. Some people, they just get old and lose it, kind of turn over the reins, you know, like Jerry Lewis. Like people that say they're regular Duck fans and want to watch all the time them. I think those guys ought to turn over the reins to someone else.
What's scary, though, is look how Kevin is today, and then imagine what he's going to be like when he gets to be Jerry Lewis's age.
How dare you? I'm that way now.
Oh, I finally got it, Ralph. Oh, there's always room for J-Lo. I get it.
Wow, that was a delay.
Yeah.
We talked to a guy who was running the American Mustache Institute, which is how we came up with our brilliant plan of bringing back the stash.
Yes, hello. This is Willie Johnson. I'm the executive president for Pubic Sideburns Institution, and we're for the advancement of pubic sideburns in the porn industry. Please give me a call back. I would like to come on your show and talk to you about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
We had the guy from the Mustache Institute on, and somehow we all got the bright idea that we were going to help him out and grow mustaches, and now we're all just miserable. We're all just walking around just looking like homeless people because we haven't shaved yet. I don't know. I don't even know if they're going to let us on the plane today. We started looking like terrorists.
They won't
let
Omar.
I'll tell you that. Billy Bob Thornton's new movie. What's the name of that?
What the heck is that darn movie called? Woodcock? Woodcock. The movie. Woodcock. The movie.
That's right. That's the name of it. I forgot. You know the Hey There Delilah song?
Sure.
It has spawned so many wonderful, wonderful parodies.
Hey there, Lisa May. What is it like in L.A. City? If I ran into you at a singles party, would you show me your would we score? Get to third base and maybe more? Oh, the things you do to me. Yeah. The things you do to me.
Damn
By the way, as a side note, we spent an hour of our day after the Kevin and Bean show yesterday listening to attorneys tell us that, hey, their vagina, not funny, apparently.
Yeah.
I thought it was. Listeners seemed to enjoy it. Apparently, we were in the wrong on that. Not entertaining.
Yeah, until yesterday, we honestly thought that comedy was a subjective thing. Like, mm-hmm. some right. people like certain things, other people didn't. Found out yesterday, objective.
Apparently, it's black and white, and lawyers are the only people who can decide what's funny now.
Speaking of which, we did a parody of Lean Like a Cholo, which started a lot of this trouble.
I'll bleed like a hemo, blood don't clot. Spurt, spurt, spurt goes everywhere. I lean like a hemo.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch.
But isn't that offensive to people who are hemophiliacs? Couldn't we get in some sort of trouble for playing that?
Hey, Bean, have you heard about the new Reese's Peanut Butter Cups that have the banana cream filling in them? You can call me up and we can talk with about the to be peanut butter about the to talk about. Yeah.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I just love peanut butter and would like people to be that I could talk to peanut about with peanut butter.
That was A Moment with Bean.
I'm just saying, I'm not going anywhere, especially a gun range in Las Vegas with Kevin. That's all I'm telling you guys. I just, Kevin, in Vegas plus handgun, no.
Handgun, nothing. They can shoot AK-47s there, dude.
Excellent judgment on Bean's part.
How dare you?
I'm with him.
Well, apparently it's a gun store slash gun range. We're going to talk to Ernie, the owner, coming up after 9 o'clock this morning as we make our plans to head into Las Vegas to broadcast live Thursday, Friday, and Monday for the MTV Video Music Awards. So that's on the way. It's 8:57. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I do want to give another quick mention to this audition. I'm getting a ton of email. People are as excited as I am that American Gladiators is coming back. NBC is relaunching the classic competition series American Gladiators. And, of course, they're looking for gladiators and contenders for the upcoming season. So if you're big, bad, athletic, if you have the heart, the skills, and the desire to compete, then they want to see you at the Gladiator Arena.
Mike, stop posing.
Mike's flexing now in the back of the room. He's giving us the gun show.
Please.
It's going to be held at the Gold's Gym in Venice, California, 9 a.m., Saturday, September the 8th, it starts. What's the matter?
Kevin elbowed me. Good.
Good.
It'll be 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. At Gold's Gym in Venice, California. It is for American Gladiators, both for the gladiators who are there all the time defending against the contenders and also for the people who are competing on the show. So if you'd like to go down there, check it out. NBC.com/casting for more details and goldsgym.com as well. That's this Saturday. Psycho Mike will not be able to attend because he'll be in Vegas with us, but that's all right. He's kind of puny anyway. He looks a little emaciated these days. Yeah.
Never make it.
You're shrinking down, man. Are you going to the gym lately? What's going on with you?
He'd get beat up by a girl
scrawny.
Anyway.
You look a little scrawny.
He said, I'm not into that.
Kanye West doesn't like naked people.
What?
You know, he once famously said that George Bush doesn't like black people.
Right, yes. Right.
Well, apparently Kanye doesn't like naked people. He is, committed the ultimate sin in my eyes. He was at Stringfellows, which is a legendary strip club in London. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but
nope.
Gotta check it out. He got six women to perform lap dances for him at the same time.
Okay.
Six girls at the same time. When they were done, he simply got up and walked out without paying any of the girls for the lap dances.
Are you kidding?
Just walked on the whole tab.
That's bad form.
Bad form. Wow. It's unforgivable. Don't you understand those girls? They're working for tips.
Yeah.
They got children to support. They've got college educations to fund.
They got the supreme joy of being able to dance for Kanye West.
Peter Stringfellow, the owner of the club, said, if just the bling around his neck had fallen off, I could have paid for vacations for all of my girls.
He wouldn't have, but he could have.
He could have, exactly. But
let me ask you a question about being a stripper. Can I see your boobs?
You guys heard Kanye West's new song, Stronger?
No, I've not.
Yeah? In it, he tries to bring back Me Likey.
Me Likey?
Me Likey. Huh. I like that. I think we should try and jump on that just like we have the mustache.
Me Likey, Me Likey.
Me Likey.
We are just fans of bad ideas all of a sudden. How did that
bringing
happen?
Back the bad.
Shaquille O'Neal filing for divorce today with his wife of nearly 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. No word on exactly why, but apparently he has filed there in Florida. Where he lives now, the Miami-Dade Circuit Court received his paperwork on Tuesday, It's not clear who's representing Shaquille or his wife, Shawnee, in this matter, but it looks like their marriage is over.
So. In TMZ.com, they say that he's looking into what she did with all of his money. And he's having a full, in-depth investigation into how every penny was spent.
No kidding.
Apparently that had something to do with it. I don't know.
Can you dig it?
Tobey Maguire went through pre-divorce ceremonies this week.
Is that what you call marriages?
That's what I'm calling marriages now. Yeah. He married his longtime girlfriend in Hawaii on Monday. He tied the knot with Jennifer Meyer, the 30-year-old mother of his 9-year-old daughter, Ruby. And apparently it was a lovely ceremony held there in Hawaii. Amongst the celebrities present was Leonardo DiCaprio, Toby's bestest buddy. Oh. You ever see them hang out naked together in those robes? Oh, it's crazy.
No.
It's David Blaine and Toby and Leo DiCaprio. They're all naked.
Where?
All the junk's hanging out.
Where, when?
You don't remember that picture? It was all over the internet for a while. It was later proven to be a fake. It was photoshopped, but... Everybody was circulating it there for a while.
Mike's got it hanging on his wall at home.
Yeah, Leo was packing.
Is that right?
Yeah. Serious sausage.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said it was a fake if I was Leo. I would have said, oh, yeah, that's me.
That's real.
Former Van Halen bass player Michael Anthony finally speaking out about the upcoming reunion tour that he's not a part of, with original singer David Lee Roth being the frontman once more for Van Halen. He said on his official website that the only reason he's not on the band's reunion tour is because he wasn't invited.
So this is, if you're not going to date me anymore, I'm breaking up with you?
Apparently they didn't bother asking him.
What is the deal with that? I don't ever recall there being a conflict between him and the other members of the band. He seems like a pretty easy guy to get along with.
Yeah.
The deal is that Eddie Van Halen's son plays the bass. That's the deal.
That's the deal.
That's
it. And they just took Wolfgang and filled him in the Michael Anthony slot. Michael said he's sad that fans won't be able to see the original lineup in the so-called reunion tour. President of the Van Halen fan club said, you played bass for Van Halen? Yeah. No one's going to miss Michael Anthony not being there, quite frankly.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
He's big.
Except Michael Anthony.
Ass.
Yeah, but Wolfgang's a big fat ass.
See, that's what I'm saying. So, just plug one in for the other. Well, he doesn't have that cool Jack Daniels bottle bass. I used to love that. Big Jack Daniels bottle bass.
Doesn't it have to be a money thing? You'd have to cut Michael Anthony in for a lot more dough than you're paying the kid.
I guess so.
That's what Zeppelin used to do with, John Paul Jones. They didn't need him, you know?
So, you know what Michael's doing this summer while those guys are going to be touring?
What?
He's going on tour himself with Sammy Hagar.
Yes, that'll show them.
Michael Anthony and Sammy Hagar in concert.
That will show them.
Billing themselves as the other half. That's just sad.
The other half?
That's just pathetic.
Really?
Yeah.
Hagar didn't want to be on his own? He wants to be the other half?
He's going to be with Michael Anthony. Hey, we're in Van Halen, too. Look at us over here. What? Hey, where are you going?
Not now, but...
Oh, those guys are in concert tonight. Okay, see you. And speaking of concerts, Neil Young is holding his 21st annual Bridge School Benefit concert. The dates have been announced. It's happening this year on October 27th and 28th at the Shoreline Amphitheater near San Francisco, where it happens every year. Quite the lineup.
He's not singing, is he?
Of course he's singing,
yeah,
Kevin.
That's awful.
Neil Young, a legend.
Blows.
Plays his own set.
He's a horrible singer.
And then sits in with a lot of the guests that are going to be there this year. Quite a lineup for the guests. Metallica. Hi, how are you? Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam.
Mm-hmm.
John Mayer. Tom Waits. Flea. Jack Irons from Pearl Jam and former Peppers drummer.
So, all these single individuals that you're naming, are they in some kind of super group or are they just
sometimes
by themselves or what?
They'll be performing in different configurations. Like Tom Waits
cool.
is going to be there. He's performing with the Kronos Quartet, which is a classical music quartet. Eddie Vedder is going to sing with Flea playing bass and Jack Irons on drums. Neil Young will be sitting in and out with the various guests.
But not singing.
So tickets go on sale September 9th. That's this weekend if you want to check it out up there in San Francisco.
I understand that he doesn't have a classically trained, beautiful voice, but
right.
he has an awful lot of emotion in his singing and is a tremendous, one of the greatest songwriters of all time and a phenomenal guitar player. I don't know how you can not like Neil Young.
Hey, hey, my.
His horrible voice. That's why.
Rock and roll will never die.
I can't even judge his songs because I can't listen to his voice.
Wow, that seems awfully narrow.
Really? Me, narrow?
You think? What the heck you say?
That's crazy.
Halle Berry's pregnant.
What?
3 months pregnant. She just announced it yesterday. Sent a email to one of the broads who works on one of those tabloid shows, Access Tonight, Hollywood Entertainment Access.
I think it was Nancy O'Dell on Access Hollywood got the email, yeah.
Of course it was.
And TMZ also reporting today that she's pushing back the production on her latest film, Tulia, because she's 3 months pregnant. They don't want her big fat belly in the movie.
Good point.
I think they say it that way.
Yeah. Hallie is currently dating model Gabrielle Aubrey. And
she's hot.
She's guessing he's the dad. But he's a good-looking dude. She's a good-looking broad, so that should be a heck of a kid right there.
Sure. Yeah.
Get that kid an agent right away.
Is she the first woman to ever break through the seal of having a baby?
Yeah, she's the first African-American woman ever to be the vessel for a baby, and she's just so honored that she could be there.
She's having a baby with seal?
She kicked down the door. Oh, Gilligan. And lastly, Quentin Tarantino throwing down the gauntlet for our man Bean. Legendary director was recently asked by Warner Brothers if he'd like to direct the movie version of the 70s cop show Hawaii Five-0.
Which is an inspired casting, as far as I'm concerned. He'd do a tremendous job with that movie.
Quentin said he was horrified when they asked because he thought the original series starring Jack Lord, in his words, and I quote, sucked.
It did
wrong,
suck.
Sir.
No,
wrong.
It sucked ass. But he could probably make it good. Why wouldn't he want to?
I don't even like Hawaii, he said.
So
really, there's no percentage in it for him.
All right.
You got to spend that much time in Hawaii and you got to do Hawaii 5-0. He's not interested.
Who would win in that fight?
Bean and Quentin Tarantino?
Wow. I mean, that's a real toss-up.
That might be a draw.
It would be more of a slap fest than anything.
I think I could take him.
Oh, please. Oh.
I do. I think I could take him.
Can we have that tape for next time Quentin comes in so we can play that? And I'll bring the gloves.
I couldn't take Jack Lord, though. Jack Lord could kick my ass, and he's been dead 10 years. Yeah. I'm just saying, that's how manly Jack Lord was.
Could you take his partner, Dano? Could you take him?
I don't think I could take Dano. Dano's got to be 80 by now, so I think I could take him.
Book him, Dano.
Bean, which pet did you name after that series?
I have a dog named Chin-Ho, who was named after the great actor Cam Fong, who plays one of McGarrett's lieutenants. Yeah.
Cam Fong is Chin Ho.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's what it said in the credits, and that's my dog's actual name. Yeah. Yes.
That's the actual name.
Yes. Yeah. Five words.
That's funny.
We have to go to another city with him.
Yes.
You know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
Meals.
Yep.
That means seeing him in face-to-face.
Yep.
The whole show. Yeah. Well, you'll be drunk, so you won't remember. But
Why do you think I drink?
Lisa and I, we're in a world for a world of hurt.
Why do you think I drink?
Yeah. Kevin will say at the end of the trip, why didn't Bean come? He should have been here. By the way, supermodel receptionist Janelle would like to go to Vegas with us.
Well, all right.
Oh, yes,
she
please. Yes,
room.
Please.
She can have your room. That's correct.
But the problem is they got nobody to answer the phones.
So what?
Well, then K-Rock closes down for a couple of days.
Dave.
Make Dave stay.
Hello, K-Rock.
Yeah, Dave's not leaving until after the show on Friday.
Right.
That's
perfect.
True.
Done.
Should I tell her she's on board?
Yep. Dave at the front desk.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. I'm tired.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Bob Newhart, one of the legendary actor comedians of our time, 78 years old today.
How about him, Kevin? Does he get a vote, or is he just too old to be funny?
Both of his shows were very funny. The original, where he was the psychologist in Chicago, and then the one where he ran the bed and breakfast in Vermont. Remember that one?
I don't really have much of a
Larry Darrell
opinion
and Larry
on him.
Those guys?
Yeah. He's still funny today. Still funny in movies like Elf. I mean, everything he does is good.
Funny man. Michael Keaton, actor. We don't see nearly as much as we would like to. He's recently in the Company, that miniseries over on TNT.
Mm-hmm.
He's 56 years old today. Dweezil Zappa is 38 years old today. Brad Wilk from Audioslave turns 39 years old today. And Rose McGowan turns 33. Very good in that Grindhouse.
Yes, she was.
Mm-hmm. Liked her a lot in that.
She was in that same cult of the guy we spoke with earlier in the hour, the Children of God cult. That's the cult she was raised in.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah. She was?
Yeah. Remember, we talked to her about that a little bit. One of the first times she came in, she wasn't keen to give us many details on it, but she got out of it and turned out all right.
Wow, I had no idea.
I had no idea either, and
dude.
I was supposedly here when that happened.
Wish I'd been an old man in the cult then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Give me a rose. Yeah. Gonna make you see God. Yeah. God's hiding in my boxers. It's time to receive Holy Communion. You know what I'm saying? Why am I talking like this?
No idea.
I don't either. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So I've been to Las Vegas many times, Kevin. Not as many as you. But I can honestly say that I never thought one of the things that was a must-do in Las Vegas was go shoot guns. I don't know how that's been off my radar, but apparently that's the thing you're most excited about this trip?
Well, sure. I mean, yeah. Who doesn't want to shoot an AK-47, for God's sakes?
Never thought about it, to tell you the truth. But
never thought about it.
Sounds kind of cool.
Let's welcome Ernie to the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the proprietor of The Gun Store. TheGunStoreLasVegas.com is the website. He's down there on Tropicana Boulevard. Hey, Ernie, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Good morning, folks. How are you?
So we're coming to Las Vegas. We've never been to the place. What is in store for us when we get there this afternoon?
Well, Kevin, we have a variety of fully automatic weapons for set up for you guys to come out and shoot. And everything from AK-47s, as you mentioned, to M-16s and belt-fed machine guns and a variety of weapons from a variety of different countries.
Now, the fully automatic ones, those are illegal, aren't they?
No, they're not illegal. Actually, they may be illegal in your state. However, in the free state of Nevada, they are legal.
This is why Nevada rules.
I don't know if I feel safe or not safe knowing that.
Well, yeah, there is an extensive background check that you need to go through in order to actually purchase a Class 3 weapon. But to shoot it, you can come on down. We'd be more than happy to take you in and show
any
you how to do
schmo.
It.
Is there a profile at all, Ernie, for your client base, the people who come in from out of town and just feel like they got to shoot up a machine gun? I mean, who are those people?
You know, they're mostly tourists from countries other than the USA.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Because I was going to say, those people are me. I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the majority of our tourists come from the UK. And some years back, they actually lost their right to own firearms. So they're intrigued, of course, by the fully automatic firearms. And I have a line of them at the counter right now, as a matter of fact.
Now, Ernie, I don't want to discourage what you're doing because you're doing the Lord's work. And I'm a big fan of it. But doesn't it seem like the mixture of alcohol and, say, fully automatic weapons might be a bad mix?
You know, absolutely. The two obviously do not mix, and we police our clientele very, very hard.
Do I have to blow into one of those?
No, but I'll tell you what. We do have a policy where if anyone has consumed any alcohol over the course of the day, be it one drink or five, you can come back another day and shoot.
That's why we're going first. We're going to go right from the airport.
Right from the airport, right, before we have a chance to drink.
These, please agree with me, though. These firearm safety classes, they're for pussies and losers, right?
Well, you need to know how to operate a firearm safety.
All right. Pretend for a moment that I don't know anything about guns. And, of course, I know everything about guns because I'm a macho man. But pretend for a moment, just humor me that I don't know anything about guns. If you're talking about, say, an AK-47, how much firepower is that, or how many bullets per minute, or how do you measure what that weapon can do?
Well, you're looking at about a firearm that's capable of shooting about 680 rounds per minute. And what we have
is that
do,
all?
That's
that sounds like 50 rounds enough per minute.
Yeah. Jeez.
It's impossible to load that much. But realistically, you're going to come in and you're going to shoot a 25-round magazine and burst fire the gun 5 to 7 rounds at a time.
Oh my God! And what are we shooting at? Is it minorities, or do you have targets, or what?
Yeah, it's minorities.
We do have targets, and the targets are of various. They're photographic, so you can choose an Osama bin Laden or
is that right?
Something like that. Or, yeah.
Can we bring a picture of the King of Mexico, who we work with, and put it on one of the?
I guess, sure.
Dave, you can pick your own target?
Dave is saying that he went to this place and shot an AK-47 at A.C. Slater.
Yeah,
and from Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, that was one of the
not
choices.
Not actually AC, but I tell you what, it is a close facsimile.
Okay, all right.
That is awesome. Okay, so it's a gun range and gun store there at 2900 East Tropicana, and it's open most days till, 7 days a week, and tourists that are in Las Vegas can come by and do exactly what we've been talking about here. Right, Ernie?
Yes, sir, 7 days a week.
Which is the weapon that fires the most rounds?
The most rounds. We have a 9mm M16 variant that has the highest rate of fire of anything in the store, and that's close to 800 rounds per minute.
800 a minute. That's nothing.
Have you ever had any accidents on premise there, Ernie?
In the 28 years we've been open, we've had all of zero.
Wow.
So, wow. Yeah. Well, wait till this afternoon, my friend.
Oh, great. That was fire confidence.
How much do your ears ring at the end of the night when you go home?
Oh, not bad at all. We have adequate ear protection, and it's really not bad at all.
What's that? What's the person firing behind you there?
That is an AK-47.
AK-47.
Wow. Okay.
It's going to be me.
Nothing says Las Vegas like firing an AK-47, I'll tell you that. Well, we are excited to meet you, Ernie. It's awesome that you came on with us today, and we will definitely be seeing you this afternoon fresh from the airport, all right? So
great.
We'll look forward to it.
Look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, man.
Okay, thanks.
We're sorry. You missed current style is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What do you do, nephew?
Let's face it, there's the reason iTunes is the number one music seller on the internet in the world. They've sold over 4 billion songs, and you get 50 free ones from iTunes, plus a brand new custom limited edition Kevin and Bean sanctioned What It Do K-Rock bottle opener. All that just for getting on the air with us right now at 1-800-520-1067.
I thought that was a long string of words that ended with bottle opener.
I know, I'm afraid it was.
Hey, I haven't seen the bottle opener. Bring some of those to Vegas. We may need those in Las Vegas.
No way, can't take them on a plane.
Oh, that's right.
You can't?
No, FAA that's... regulations. You might try to open a pilot.
We'll overnight it. Don't worry. Rob in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on?
Hey, Rob.
So,
what'd it do? Yeah, thank you.
I was wondering if you guys saw LA Inc. yesterday.
I didn't, but did you email us?
No, I didn't.
Somebody emailed us and said, LA Inc., you have to watch it if you didn't see the episode yesterday because there was some hot midget something or another.
Yeah, she was probably the best-looking midget that I've ever seen. She had a nice
Really?
Track,
that's damning with faint praise right there. That's the best-looking midget I've ever seen.
Would you put her up against normal chicks?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Because, you know, she doesn't have, like, the stubbly arms. Or she looks like a regular chick, just really small. And, man, she was smoking.
Like Jillian Barbery?
Yeah. She's really small.
Stubbly
midget?
Arms, like
she's like 5'2 or something, 5'3.
But she has, like, midget body.
She's not a midget like your mom's a midget.
Yeah, your mom's a real midget.
My mom's not a midget.
You know what I mean?
A true midget.
You're going
to
get shamed.
I thank you for the tip on that, Rob. I appreciate it. I do. I have that iTivo, the LA Inc., so I definitely am going to check that out. That's a good tip right there.
The sheer volume of what Bean TiVo is must be enough to crush his entire video recorder.
He has many separate TVs specifically to facilitate extra TiVos.
By the way, we ought to do that as a phone topic one time because I have a friend that I was speaking with not long ago who has, get ready for it, 64 season passes in her TiVo.
No.
Oh, 64.
Yes.
I have
64.
I have a lot of those. I tape a tremendous amount of stuff that I never get to, but unless I hear something is good, then I can go back and find it.
Right. That's the beauty of it, right?
But that's crazy.
I don't tape that much. Just because I don't have the time. I just don't have the time.
I don't either, but I tape a lot.
Dave and you don't watch a lot.
That's great. Dave and Reseda, good morning.
Hey, yeah, what's up? What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hi, Dave.
Hey, yeah, so check it out. My girl helps host karaoke at this bar in Tarzana.
Yeah.
And last night, all these Armenians came in with, like, guns and knives and stuff. And they started, like, jumped up on stage and started shouting, like, Armenian pride and crap in the air.
So, okay, what could this about that? Bro.
Were they singing that song?
Dude, no, but I asked her, I was like, did you at least shout, you know, Glendale or like brow down? And she's like, no. And I was like, oh, why? And she's like, oh, the cops had to come and like draw their guns and stuff.
Wow.
And my buddy who hosted got hit with a baseball bat and crap.
Dude.
And I was like, wow, dude.
To get hit with a baseball bat and crap in the same night.
Exactly.
Is this a Turkish restaurant where you do the karaoke?
Oh. I'm sorry, no.
Because they get cranky about that, you know.
But what kind of a place are you running where people can walk into a restaurant with guns and knives and are still allowed to stay?
No, dude, it's this karaoke bar in Tarzana.
What's the name of it?
It's the Little Rock. It's on Ventura and...
Oh, yeah, down by Balboa?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, it's this little, like, dive karaoke bar, you know?
Good times.
Kevin, you're the Duke of Tarzana. Can't you do something about that?
Not really. Just called myself that just out of being stupid. Not really the Duke
of... I thought you had some power with that title.
No, none whatsoever. No.
Dimples, the karaoke place over in Burbank, as I understand, Ralph, and please source me on this, was the first karaoke bar in the United States.
No kidding.
I did not know that, but I know they're one of the biggest. One of the biggest.
A, don't know if it's true. B, don't really care. I've got to be honest.
But it is great. I love it there.
Matt in Long Beach. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
If Mike gets to do American Gladiators, he gets to tackle people while wearing a singlet, and especially grown men.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me. He's all
about
that.
Job. It is the dream job for Psycho Mike to be a gladiator.
You've got to let him go on Saturday.
I'm encouraging it, but everyone else seems to be against the idea.
Hey, listen, I'm fine with it. I'd like to hang out with Mike this weekend, but if he gets to be on the American Gladiators, for God's sake, seems like it would be a better plan. He doesn't drink anyway. What good is he to me?
That's what I'm thinking. What good is he in Vegas? Doesn't gamble, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke.
He doesn't have any money. What does he
doesn't
do?
Doesn't whore around.
He's a food magnet, dude.
Oh, that's
he doesn't have any money, so he can't buy Kevin drinks, so that's not
magnet.
It.
Yeah. It's pretty useless in Vegas, quite frankly.
I say let's send him over. Let's have him do it. You would do that, right? It would be awesome.
Yeah.
Get on that show? That'd be cool.
I wonder.
Well, I think what Mike's... Mike's fear is, though, he already has hotel and airfare paid for, and he just doesn't want to
flush that down the toilet.
Sure, we will.
No, you're using one of our rooms.
I am, but Friday night.
Friday night what?
I got my own room.
On your own?
Yeah.
He got his own room, even though... forget it. John in Lakewood, good morning.
I can't sleep with anyone else. I can't sleep with him.
What's going on, John?
Hey, what do you guys think of this Larry Craig not wanting to quit?
Yeah, he's changing his mind now.
This is the senator that had the wide stance in the stalls?
Yeah. The wide poop stance. Hey, we don't know that.
Alleged.
That's alleged, man.
Okay, alleged.
He may just have a wide poop stance. just be nudging guys under the stall because he's friendly. Look, I know my friend Kevin used to start conversations with guys in bathrooms all the time.
That was for the show, though. That was for interviews.
Maybe Senator Craig's doing a show.
Maybe. Yeah.
To answer your question, though, John, what I think is that it doesn't matter what he wants. He's going to have to do what his party tells him to do, and he can bitch about it all he wants, but if he's lost the support of his own party in the Senate, then he really doesn't have any choice. He can't, and he's not going to get any support from the voters back home either.
By the way, King of Mexico, who is the manliest man we know, says he's lucky he would even have his feet if he did that to me. I would have stomped on his foot and then dripped it off. That's what Dave's talking like out
there
in the hallway.
Dave was actually talking about the Armenians when he typed that in because they cut off your feet.
Oh.
That was a topic ago.
Lucky he still has his feet. We're talking about the guy with the poop stains.
Stop reading. Please stop reading the screens, all of you.
Mike in Rancho Santa Margarita.
feet.
No, this is...
How can you sleep at night?
This is sober.
Let you roll.
I'm so afraid of today and tomorrow and the next day.
Mike, what's going on?
What it do, guys?
What it do?
What it do, Mike?
Hey, I'm going out to Vegas this weekend as well, and yes. I am hoping to see Chris Angel so I can punch him in his face.
You got to do what you got to do. We're not suggesting that you do that. We're just saying if he's there,
don't be a sucker.
Don't be a sucker. Right.
Definitely not, but I'll make sure to get it on film.
All right, what are you going for? Are you going for the NFL or for the MTV thing or something else?
No, I'm just going up there with a couple friends. We go up every couple months.
Fantastic. Well, you picked a good weekend because it's the opening weekend of the NFL.
I know.
How great is that?
Excited.
Finally.
Hey, where are we going to be broadcasting from in case listeners are going to Las Vegas today or tomorrow and want to come by and see us?
Well, Mandalay Bay, but...
Yeah, by the sports book.
Right by the sports
book. Right by the sports
book. Okay. Well, that's a good tip because I know we do have some fans that will be in town.
But see, Bean, here's how it always happens. They're like me. They go, hey, I'd like to stop by. Tell me where you're going to be. And then, like, tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., they're rolling out of a club someplace. They have no idea where they are.
And they come by juiced and they're hammered.
If they come by at all.
Yeah.
So it's all right.
Let's close with Jessie on line 3. She has a very important mustache related question. This is going to be the first time we've tried to get our mustaches on the plane, you know. So it's going to be a little trying this afternoon.
Jesse, you've got a man's voice. Weird. Yeah, got some gas.
I don't know what Dave told you. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo? Hey, I'm just wondering, is Kevin going to dye the mustache to match his head?
No, he's going to leave it. He's going to leave it dark.
Question.
Leave it dark brown and the hair blonde.
No, I would be offended if he didn't dye it.
I dye my pubes. Is that okay?
We want him to look like one of the village people.
You like that too much. Thank you, Jesse. Hold on.
What are you going to do? I mean, is the hair going to match the mustache, Kevin? What is your plan with that?
Yeah, sure.
Where are you running to? He's got something urgent on the other side of the room.
He's
got to
get paper for tomorrow's show.
Oh, I see.
All right. Thank you for the calls.
That wasn't in your giant vault of a drawer that you were cleaning out in the room.
We don't have time to talk about that.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
We don't have
Kevin's
time.
Adventure spelunking into his giant drawer that he keeps in the office.
I found stuff from like years ago in there.
He found an original copy of the Magna Carta at the bottom. That's how long it's been since he got to the bottom of that.
Kevin, look up Magna Carta after the show. I want to thank Noah Thompson for joining us. He is the director of a hilarious new documentary. It's called Children of God Lost and Found. They're talking about Hollywood's going to remake this with Robin Williams in the lead. So it's going to be very, very funny.
Oh, I'd like to touch my children.
I don't think so.
But check it out. That's tonight at 7 o'clock on the Cinemax.
I was at the movie theater, by the way, just to your Robin Williams comment. Uh-huh. I was watching this preview for what looked like a great movie. This kid, you know, got given up for adoption, heart.
Oh, I know which one.
Right? And it looks all sad. And the kid's, you know, trying to find his mom. And he's learning through music, you know, and music is the international language. And then in comes Robin Williams with these giant, like, mutton chop sideburns. It's like, it totally had me. And I was like, oh, come on.
Is he being serious, though? Is he being serious?
Yes.
Well, Robin's better when he's serious than when he's trying to be funny.
But the sideburns, not being serious.
Oh, I see. Funny
sideburns are very funny.
Oh, look at my facial hair.
Tomorrow, live from Las Vegas, we got the Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, who now works there.
Mm-hmm. So that's his own theater there.
He does, yeah.
I know.
That's pretty cool.
Hooters. So we're going to see that show tonight. We're going to have him in tomorrow. We have Carrie Hart on the program tomorrow, as he's a Vegas guy, too. We have Rich Eisen from the NFL Network.
Love him.
Begin the football season.
Oh,
finally.
So excited.
Does the NFL Network have any games yet, Ralph? They do.
They won't until after Thanksgiving. That's when they start their
They showed
slate
some
of
them that they've been showing like on other channels. They'll also show on the NFL Network.
The preseason. The preseason games. Okay. Yeah. But the regular season games, they pick them up after Thanksgiving all the way through up into the playoffs. So they'll have their games.
You're going to hear Lisa May shooting an AK-47 tomorrow
morning. Good
Kevin Abeen Show.
She broke her hand on a chocolate bar, for God's sake. She can hardly hold it and shoot an AK-47.
But we'll see.
Will kill her. It will shake her to dust. She'll be a red mist when it's all over.
Strip club nightmares tomorrow, and K-Rock LA Invasion tickets all tomorrow from the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas.
I'm wondering if all of us on the show right now are going to be there at 5:30 tomorrow morning.
And by all of us, who do you mean, Bean?
I just mean in general. Is everybody going to make it to Las Vegas and on the air tomorrow morning?
We've done a few Vegas shows where I didn't know if I was going to get there by 5:30. So it's possible I could be amongst the missing as well.
Thank you.
I will try to be there.
Enjoy Bean and Lisa tomorrow.
We're going to go to LAX tonight, too, and check out the new club that Britney Spears opened over the weekend.
You mean the club that she showed up at midnight and got $100,000 for?
That one, yeah.
Wow. I you think they'll give us $100,000?
I don't think so. Right. No. We might get a coaster out of it for our drinks.
Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including The Killers, also All Around Me, new music from Flyleaf. We got Jane's Addiction, Rise Against Blur, and more right after this on K-Rock.